You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? Woo!
Wow.
All right, I was worried there. There was a bit of a delayed reaction, and I was worried we're going to have a long show.
I know, no doubt.
See, for the slower people in our crowd, Hannah.
Brett Bittner.
when we say, how's everybody doing tonight, you go, woo! As soon as possible. There we go. Welcome to the fifth anniversary and the 200th episode of We Are Libertarians.
Woo!
Please clap.
You're welcome.
We taught them so well.
We did.
Joining us on the dais tonight, as always, Greg Lenz, my co-host. He's to my right where he belongs. Greg,
yes,
how are you?
Yes, I'm doing well, buddy. This is quite the turnout. I am forever thankful.
We have a packed house. There's 1,700 people, for those of you listening at home.
They're very loud.
Joining us tonight, we're gonna have a cast change halfway through. But sitting on the dais tonight are the two original cast members of the show.
Oh, geez.
It started with me, and then I knew Chris Galt. I reached out to Chris Galt, and I said, "Hey, I just took a loan out on my car to buy podcast equipment because I'm good with money.
I'll help you with that."
I want to do a podcast, and you never shut up, so would you like
Let's
to join
it.
With
I
me?
I know another guy that talks a lot.
And then you found Creighton, and Creighton, I thought I talked a lot, and I thought you talked a lot.
We had to
Boy, yeah, we have to, like, raise cards with Creighton and go, can you please tone it down? And so Creighton and Galt, Creighton Harrington, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Thank
hello,
you, okay. And,
it's an audio medium.
Sorry, that story, I didn't realize that story was also like the introduce yourself. I thought you were
I called you the first episode, Creighton Harrison.
Yeah, Creighton Harrison. The one that you lost, because with all that car loan podcast equipment, you lost the first episode.
So the first 30 to 40 episodes, it was the three of us doing the podcast. We built up an audience of 72 people. I couldn't believe it.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You're going to need to put that right here, okay, so people can hear you. Still teaching a mic technique after 5 years. And then towards the 30s, we got into a bit of trouble, would you say? And there was a fight.
I wouldn't say it was trouble. I was okay.
You were handling yourself, but I had to tell you to get off of him or I was going to sit on you. We'll explain that later.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Galt was asked to leave the show.
Yep, you chose Creighton over me.
Well, you forced the choice, so I said, I'm sorry, Galt, you have to not do this podcast for free anymore. You got fired from a volunteer position. I made you come over
if
to my house
if
every
that's
day.
That's not the most libertarian story I've ever heard.
Right. You can't be here anymore because you're too irritating, and that's me saying it, okay? I've got literally this entire audience of people hates me, and there's a line out the door ready to punch me in the face. And I thought you were too irritating, but that's...
Hey, you chose Creighton over me. How long did that last?
Not very long.
No, wrong choice.
And thank God Greg Lenz came along.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Saved the show.
Because I lost my two favorite screechers.
Thank someone.
And I had to find a new screecher. And Greg Lenz came along and really has nerded up the podcast in a great way.
I like to think that I screech better than any autistic kid on the planet.
Right.
And they may have invented it, but I made it an art form.
And Gina Martinez, who is here tonight, a special rare appearance by Gina, and in the second half we'll bring Gina up. But joining us tonight is Chris Bowers.
Hello.
Now, Chris is very libertarian-leaning, okay? But let me just say something to you. Please do not stand up and yell at him that he's wrong in the middle of this show, okay? Because some of you are going to be full-triggered by Chris.
He's still a normie.
Right. He's still a normie. Last time we had a podcast here, there was a clique of libertarians and you sparring, and people might have left mad.
Oh,
and you might have left mad.
I didn't leave mad. I left. I hope they don't hate me. I was just fucking with them.
Well, they hated you.
I know they did.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
I knew when I saw you talking to Harry, you were in serious trouble because you started making appeals to rationality, and that triggered him fully.
Harry walked outside and leaned his head in my car as I was sitting there on the phone, and he goes, I don't know who that racist is in there, but I never want to talk to him again.
You did the classic mistake. You went, surely we all agree that roads can be public, and Harry's like, fuck you.
No, our problem was he didn't think we should have integrated the schools in the 60s with the government. He's like, and I'm like, you're a black guy. Are you fucking serious? And then somehow I'm a racist.
Oh, he's the most racist person
anyway,
I know.
So, okay, well, good.
That's why he's our racism insurance.
Earlier this week, he was saying, I've had it with these black people.
So when Greg hangs up Confederate flags and Nazi flags on his home in Irvington.
Oh, I saw that. That was you.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's
nice.
The windmill of toleration and friendship.
Then we can go, yeah, but
it's staircases our friend, of the future.
Yeah.
Our friend Harry is way more racist than Greg.
Oh, yeah.
So Chris Bowers, because you're like me and probably like Galt, you haven't gone by Chris since grade school, I imagine.
My mom calls me Bowers.
Right.
No way.
Right.
Yeah. So when I was in eighth grade, my mom got remarried. I have a stepbrother my exact age, also named Chris. So after a month of confusion, he got Chris and I got Bowers, because his last name was Herman, and we weren't going to call him Herman. That would have ruined his life.
How does your mom introduce the idea that, listen, we love your stepbrother more than you, so we're going to call him Chris?
It started as Chris Bowers, Chris Herman, and eventually it was just Bowers and Herman. I mean, we're Bowers and Chris, so yeah, I'm just...
He appropriated your name.
That's fine.
Now...
I like being Bowers, actually, better. But.
I need you to laugh really hard at his jokes. Bowers owns this comedy club,
well,
okay?
My views are not necessarily tell people I own the place, so when I'm telling them awful jokes, I don't. we don't have any political backlash and get boycotted as a business. But drink a lot and eat a bunch, because, you know, we need it.
So Bowers is joining us tonight to do a little bit of comedy. First, I want to say thank you to our openers. First, Jeff and Caitlin. How
great
were they?
The best.
Make sure to download the Jeff Vibbert podcast and listen to their podcast. It's so great. People tell me all the time how great it is, especially Jeff. And it's definitely worth your listen. Let's also give a round of applause for the woman I have seen naked more than my ex-wife, Miranda Barnett.
Who is not there right now.
She's outside. Joey, are you here? Please tell your girlfriend that she got a standing ovation. Okay.
Oh, she's way back there.
Miranda, right. Were you late because you were having sex or because you were masturbating? So she was in a steam bath with some old Asian ladies, and she just couldn't get out of there. Miranda's sitting next to my next guest on the Chris Spangle Show, Emily, and Emily Sweet. And Emily's also in the news off air. I'm standing in the middle of Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and then all of a sudden, there's Miranda's nude boobies. And I'm training interns the other day, and then I look at my iWatch, and there's nudity on my iWatch, and they think I'm a complete perv. So thank you, Miranda, for including me in the nude circle. A round of applause.
Yeah.
Please. Miranda, one of the most savage female cats.
Yeah, she's, if you're not ready, it's like trying to drink out of a fire hose. If you're not ready for it, you know.
You're not ready to get woke.
Knock you on your ass.
It's amazing. Women either 100% are in love with Miranda, or they fucking hate them.
Yeah.
What would you know about that, Greg?
I have no idea, because I'm the great uniter.
I
Once you let patriotism into your heart, there's no room for
that.
Prejudice.
There may have been a time where you had to unfriend Miranda because of girlfriends.
Well, I have a feeling that most girlfriends are threatened by Miranda.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually, Aaron Ewert is entirely to blame for that.
Yes. Well, Aaron needs to come up and apologize. He made a meme today saying that the cast of We Are Libertarians is unfuckable, and I took offense to that. Because
no, he said he'd rather fuck a pile of pancakes than the We Are Libertarians cast.
Wow, pancakes are very fuckable.
So
that's not against you guys.
I need Aaron to come up and tell the audience that I'm fuckable, please. Please.
He's actually getting up.
Come on, Aaron.
So brave.
I'm not sure...
Well, I didn't want you to get gay with it. Here, I needed a couple drops of the Superman Vitality. Go ahead, Galt. I'm already woke.
Creighton needs this.
Now, Bowers,
this
you look great.
This must have been next to his no fluoride toothpaste that was in his bathroom.
Yeah,
okay, here we go.
Bowers, you look great.
Thank you.
I had a scary incident last night. I'd had 100, 200, 300 calories around 8 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And then I took 900 milligrams of caffeine. The recommended dose is 200.
Yeah.
And then I went and worked out for an hour and a half, and I about died, so I had a Wendy's double halfway through.
Well, yeah, that's a good call. Just take the bun off of it, and it's good for you.
Exactly. But I eat a lot of kale. I'm eating very healthy. I've lost about 10% of my body fat. Have you been following somewhat of a similar regimen to lose? How much have you lost?
Well, I was in a weight loss challenge to get to 210. I was started at 275, so I lost 65 pounds, but I was 210 for about 8 minutes. So I'm about 218. Is where I'm at right now. So
what causes most of the calories for you?
So I ate once a day, 500 calories or less. No carbs.
Okay, so you're intermittent fasting like I was yesterday.
Yeah, intermittent fasting.
Right.
But I haven't had a fruit or vegetable since 1996. That's okay. A real thing. So I just eat meat.
Even potatoes?
Potatoes aren't there as starch. Here's the thing. I don't eat anything that never had a face. If I never had a face, I don't eat it.
Potatoes have face.
Because they have eyes and ears. But that's my...
Now, that's not a joke. You've literally not had a fruit or vegetable.
That's a real thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a joke.
Well, he's pure.
Right. So if you're not eating...
So I'm a meatitarian.
A meatitarian, okay, yeah. Just like Bittner.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, I'm like, no, I can't. Like, literally, 3 years ago, I missed a piece of a carrot in a chicken pot pie and almost fucking died. Like, literally, like, it took 3 days to pass it, and it came out fucking orange. My body has no idea how to deal with vegetables. It's like, what are you doing? So it's like when a vegetarian eats a piece of steak, they would literally, like, shit themselves for 3 weeks. It's the opposite. It takes, like, it's like eating. I might as well eat a stone at this point. My body.
Your gallbladder must be working overtime. Yeah,
but so. My theory is it's variety that kills you. We're the only animal that eats a variety of food. Like, cows eat grass, dogs eat dog food, right? So I think that's what kills you is variety. So just pick one thing, pizza, chicken fingers, whatever you like, and just eat that every fucking day, and you
live
forever.
That's actually really profound.
For him, it's a Jimmy John's number 9.
Number 9 with peppers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You eat that how often?
Like 3 to 5 times a week for dinner.
Yeah. Right.
I'm saying eat it every day, every meal, and you'll live forever.
Yeah. Greg? No, I agree. I don't like wasting time thinking about, like, what to make. So that just eliminates the, you know, unnecessary mental thought.
Believe it or not, this is the healthy side of the table, okay?
But see, you don't know what health is. That's the thing. I don't the base of my philosophy is I don't fucking believe anything.
Right.
All right? I don't believe websites I read. I believe what I can fucking experience. That's what I do. Right?
Right.
And so one of the reasons I don't eat vegetables is because everybody told me vegetables are good for me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to not eat vegetables my whole life and see if I fucking die. And there's a point where I might die and go, ah, fuck, they were right. But I'm not gonna
tell those sons of bitches.
No, I might tell they were right about vegetables. But I'm saying, like, that's I want to do the research myself. You know what I mean? I think that's one of the things we get. You know,
you're so libertarian. I want to see the documents.
No.
Show me the documents.
By the way, fuck documents. I don't believe in documents either. Right? I'm not gonna read a website about some fucking conspiracy and go, oh, that's the answer. No, if someone else is telling me the answer, like, I'm not in. Right?
Unfortunately, the documents in this case are a hard brick of shit, and he doesn't go, oh, that's not normal.
Is it a hard brick?
No. I shit beautifully.
He's a beautiful shitter, everybody.
You just assumed it was a hard... For yeah. you, because you lack, you know, you have all this diversity, that's what's ruining your...
I will say this. This is true. When you don't eat vegetables, your farts don't smell. Because it's the bacteria and vegetables that make the fucking gases that make it smell bad.
I disagree. Frosted mini wheats are the worst.
I'm saying, if you ask my girlfriend, she would tell you, I can, like, does not smell at all in the car ever.
Somebody rose their hand over there.
Unless there's actual shit in my butthole, but other than that,
unless there's actual shit in my butthole,
then
quote.
It smells. Like if my fart smells, I know I have to poop. That's what happens.
So
it's a warning sign.
Yeah, it's like, oh God, I gotta go.
Yeah, Greg gave us his diet yesterday, and it's like 12 shots of espresso in the morning,
4 shots a day,
right?
So 2 shots of espresso and then coffee, and
a Gatorade.
Then, the Starbucks blackberry. A refresher.
Okay, a blackberry refresher.
Yeah, and right. Then repeat that for lunch, and then usually Jimmy John's number 9 at night with Diet Coke.
And that's all you eat?
That's normally, yeah, during the week.
Good. How do you live?
I feel really...
It's all horseshit.
It's salad.
All this nutrition you're worried about is horseshit. They're kale, it's all...
Free
big,
your mind,
It's all big
chill.
Farmer, man. All big farmer. Big farmer's trying to get you to buy vegetables and fucking line their pockets like a bunch of fat cats.
And so now you're, you know,
and
it's
you're,
all
you're
obvious.
Buying into it, goddammit. You don't need vegetables... Jimmy John's, coffee is all you need, man.
Fuck
it's
it.
Fine.
Beer. Hey, Jordan, can I get an order of tachos, please? No,
yeah,
onion.
You can.
Thank you. Meat? Are you kidding? Extra meat.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Throw all the meats on there. All three.
Make sure there's nothing green on that, bad boy.
Once you're halfway done, are you going to let Caitlin Kapetsky eat them like
oh,
she did
yeah,
the other night?
Yeah, yeah. Caitlin is going to have so many of my tachos.
Is that stranger going to finish that meal? Do you think they'd mind if I asked?
So we came here to Morty's a week ago.
Yeah,
and so
2 weeks ago.
We sat over here, and it was the worst comedy show I've ever been to, not because of the comedians. They were great. It was because we had a running commentary from one Mr. Aaron Ewert. who had had 1,700 shots of Patron.
He was real drunk. He was real drunk. I liked him, but he was real drunk.
I was literally this close, Bowers, not as a troll, to ask you to kick him out so because I didn't want him near me anymore. He was too brave.
After the show, he kept going, you're fucking great, man.
I tell people all the time how great you are.
You're fucking great, man.
I love you, man.
You're fucking great.
I didn't know how much I didn't know how much Aaron loved me until he told me 1,700 times after that show. It was touching. And Caitlin Kopetsky, she was also a little turned up.
Oh my.
And so I was down at one end of the table with Hannah, and Hannah and Caitlin had never met, and Caitlin just screams in the middle of the show, "You're going to eat those tortillas?"
First, though, she had put out feelers like a game of telephone. Like, is she going to eat those? I don't know her. But if you ask, it's not weird.
Right. I don't know who she is, but I'm going to finish her meal.
No judgment, Caitlin.
No. A little.
A little.
Bowers, so what did you eat? So did you work out at all?
No. I mean, occasionally, if I get to, like, let's say I was at 230.4, mm-hmm. I might go ride my bike in a circle until I was 230.0 or 229 so I could hit another plateau. But so I worked out, like, six times. You know,
doing that, your own version of NASCAR.
Yeah, something like that. I was just, you know,
just going in a circle.
It was a lot like the last to get to, because the first like 50 pounds were pretty easy because those are new pounds.
All right. Water weight.
But, well, no, about 10 of us water weight, but the other 40 like been there 3 years and new pounds are. But those last 10 pounds have been there for like 16-17 years. They were pretty dug in. So when I got to 218, I got to 215 on a Saturday. I was like, all right, I'm not gonna eat again until I'm 210 or dead. And then I didn't eat Saturday, I didn't eat Sunday, I didn't eat Monday, I didn't eat Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning I was 210.
That's Ethiopian diet.
Yeah, right. So I just didn't eat for 5 days. And I've decided, if you ever want to feel like what it's like to be a heroin addict, or what if you don't understand addiction, mm-hmm. like, don't eat for 5 days. And in that time, you have to figure out what the fuck you're going to do with your life. You're like, well, I'm going to watch TV, and I'm going to go over here, I'm going to take a walk, and I'm going to talk to somebody on the phone. Oh, don't eat, right? And then like, you go to bed, you all go to sleep, and you sleep for a while, and you wake up in the middle of the night, fuck, I didn't fall asleep long enough. And then you're like, so every minute of your life is about not eating, and I'm like, fuck, that's what it's going to be like to be on heroin every goddamn day. Right. And at least I knew after 5 days I could eat a pizza, and I was be cool. If heroin's forever, oh, fuck. Like, I understand people that are addicted to things so much now, because like, yeah, you could not eat forever. Right. You could not eat for a while until your body's like, no, motherfucker, we need it. Right? That same thing. Heroin's got to be like that. So I really feel I got a more of a sense of what it must be like to be addicted to something when I went through that, because I've never had addiction issues really.
Right.
So it was just that.
Other than the alcohol.
But well, no, I'm not addicted to alcohol. I can stop drinking alcohol. I mean, I didn't drink for the first 7 weeks of the diet.
That's true.
At all.
You,
I mean,
you do go long periods. You have a cool down period.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have no physical addiction to alcohol. I just like shots and naked women. So that's it facilitates both those things. So you know,
Miranda, stop. No, sit down, please.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Miranda. By the way, Miranda does not need shots to be naked. Comment.
No, Miranda. You know what Miranda needs to be naked? Hey, Miranda, will you get naked?
Right? No. Yeah, exactly. There's some dollars.
Also,
made.
That right there is Carrie C. That's the one I was telling you about earlier. just fucking with Carrie. So what did you eat?
This is what he wants me to tell about, because my favorite thing that I would eat that he loved is here's my move. I would go to I go to Marsh and go to the salad bar and just get the bacon bits, because they're real bacon bits. They like fry the bacon and cut them up like for real.
Bittner would love that.
So you get a whole thing of bacon bits, and then it's 3 bun length hot dogs, right? Cheddar cheese, bacon bits, microwave it for a minute and a half, bacon cheesy hot dogs, delicious.
Wait a second.
No carbs, 600 calories-ish. I'd eat that once a day. Fucking done. Hot dogs.
But like, wait, so you would go in, they have like homemade bacon bits?
Oh yeah, they're amazing.
So, but aren't they like supposed to go on salads and stuff?
Oh sure, but they just charge you by the pound. They don't give a fuck what kind of salad.
So you would
eat.
Get a pound of
not
of
a pound,
homemade.
I would just get a container of the bacon bits, yeah.
No weird looks?
I don't give a fuck if they look at me weird. I mean, like, it literally would be just bacon bits, cheese, hot dogs, hamburgers. It was all meat. I don't
that must be
shit.
That guy that's Bowers, on Brett's Bacon Challenge.
Just so you know, Bowers wears a tuxedo every single day of the year. He is dressed like this every single day of the year.
Yeah.
He's used to weird looks, okay? He went and bought his outfit. He lost so much weight that he went to the Black Preacher store in Atlanta, Georgia to buy his suits.
That's where I go. KG Men's Mart, Black Eye Suit Store. That's where I get all my stuff. Oh, it's the best. It's the best place.
That Bittner. We're talking about Atlanta.
I actually went to a different store in Atlanta. Yeah, but K&G's where I shop here. And then I went to the corporate headquarters in Atlanta when I was there for K&G because, you know, there's
that's no
better
place. That's where the real tight threads
are. That's where the real good stuff. So, yeah, I've got velvet shoes on and a velvet coat.
So you ate hot dogs covered in bacon bits and nacho cheese sauce.
Oh, no. I don't like shredded cheese sauce. Come on. Shredded cheese.
Okay, I'm not sorry. It was fucking gourmet.
Right, okay. So that, and then I think a pizza plate. I think I'll eat pizza plate, which is the same concept except pepperoni instead of bacon bits and some little pizza sauce, and you put it on a plate and you eat it with a fork. That's pretty good. What else did I eat? Chicken wings. You can eat chicken wings all day long as long as they're bone-in chicken wings, and they're not breaded, so I eat a lot of those. BW3 on Tuesdays with their half-price traditional wings is the shit. I went there a lot. I ate a lot of Golden Corral. Golden Corral's a solid place to go if you're just eating.
That's
meat.
A highbrow restaurant right there.
Yeah. No.
And if you go to lunch on the one on Washington Street, they have bacon all day. So
that is the first time I've ever felt like you're old, Bowers.
Huh?
Like
Golden Corral.
Listen, if you go over to the Golden Corral for lunch, they've got the best bacon. You don't want to go to the Golden Corral on the South Street.
Yeah, I've scouted them all, man. Because they don't all serve bacon, right? So I've literally called a Golden Corral and went,
no, you have not.
Are you open? Yep. Do you have bacon on the buffet right now? We do. I'll be there in 10 minutes. I've called Golden Corral.
Oh, my.
Now, you don't want to bacon. Are you serious? What the fuck am I doing? Are you eating meatloaf like a fucking crazy person?
You called ahead to a
buffet. Yes, you call ahead.
Is the good prime rib out?
You call them in and say, do you have bacon right now? And they have to go look. And they're like, hang on. They go, hang on. And they go in there coming. They're like, we do. And I'm like, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
That's exactly why. I worked across the street from the Golden Corral on Washington Street at the AT&T store. Every week there was an ambulance there. Every week, no joke. Ambulance picking somebody up. Ate too much bacon.
Anna, this is a very serious question. Tell them about your travel snack, the popcorn.
Which one?
Your travel snack. You know, you got.
Now when I'm having a cheat day, I will say this. By the way, here's the deal. What I can tell you is a couple. I can tell you the best places to drink. Tell you the best shitty foods to eat ever. So if you need to know the best pizza, I can tell you where that is almost anywhere. I know all of the exits that have. If you're driving with me, I know which pilot has a pizza and which pilot doesn't have pizza. I just know.
Truck stops?
Yeah, I know. Oh, they have good. Yeah, I know which ones. But the best popcorn you will ever eat is GFS, the General Foods, whatever, for food service up there on 96th Street. It comes in a fucking 8-gallon bag for $5, and it is unbelievable. It takes you 3.5 days to eat it, but it's a good cheat weekend. It's a good cheat weekend thing. It's nice big pieces of popcorn. They don't have too much shit that gets caught in your teeth. You know, those little shells get caught. You get rid of that shit somehow. It's amazing. So that's what I would. So that's my travel snack. Yeah.
So,
I can't believe you know which pilots have pizza and don't.
Dude, that's by the way. That's my skill. My skill for the apocalypse is I know where I've traveled the country so much with speaking and comedy that I just know where everything is.
There should be an app.
There probably is an app, but I don't need an app because when the apocalypse happens and all the apps go away, I'm gonna still know where all the fucking pilot pizza is.
Charge per recommendation.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So Bowers tips for young men. Now we have a very your tips for young men to blossom into solid men from a boy to man. Because the problem with our culture is that we don't have any rituals. You know, we hear about this all the time. His tips to become a man are equally as wise. I've heard you talk a lot about the feminization of men and essentially what Greg and I have termed beta faggotry.
I will say this.
Seth's laughing. Okay. You can laugh at that.
Last week.
All right. Seth thought it was hilarious.
Last week.
Recovered, right? All right, good.
Last week, you taught me the word cuckold. I didn't know what that meant, right?
And
I
saw really?
You. I didn't know. I'm at
WWE, and this little 10-year-old kid stands up and goes, "You're a cuckold, AJ Styles!" And the whole room died laughing, and we all laughed except for the mom who didn't know what a cuckold was, and she looked at us, and I go, she goes, "What's a cuckold?" And I said, "Funny you should ask. We're gonna get that black wrestler and that white wrestler, and the white wrestler is gonna pretend to be your husband. He's
that's enough."
And so Bowers explained
here's the
it
thing.
To.
So he explained it to me. Now, I don't need the racial component of it, to be honest. But, like, the but calling someone a cuck, right? Because that's the word we've been looking for since we were children.
Absolutely.
What I want to do is be able to call you not a man. Now, I don't want to be derogatory towards homosexuals because I don't care. I mean, I don't think you're less than a man if you're homosexual. Sure. And I don't want to be derogatory towards women and call you a pussy because that's derogatory to women who are strong. Cuck is a made-up word which means you're not being a man, and right. I fucking love it, and I'm using it from now on. That's my word. I don't need to. So beta cucks, I'm down with. We can say beta cuck is cool.
Not all cuckolds are beta faggots, but all beta faggots are cuckolds.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but all right. I'm sure.
That's wise. It's deep.
It's science.
Cuckolding comes from Shakespeare and Othello.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's the origination of the word.
Which is adorable, that to call a guy not a man, you're using Shakespeare.
Right. Othello, yeah.
That is so fucking ironic, I can't even believe it.
Yeah, because...
Both are a pussy. Okay, thank you.
Because, you know, as we've talked with Seth about, the F word is hurtful to people. We don't want to be hurtful, but the whole point is, you know, when...
I'm glad someone else
Aaron
let a laugh out about that.
Yeah. Okay, we want
to
I'm
truly not trying to be hurtful. Like, you guys are fucking trolls and think it's funny to make people sad.
We're sad.
I just have a different opinion than everyone, and I'm just trying to get you to see my point of view, I guess
Speaking of which, is Rob Kendall here to apologize?
Oh, my God.
All right, I don't see him. All right, please text him. Yeah, thank you. I mean, when did you realize, okay, this is how I get girls? We're teaching kids.
I figured out how to get
life
girls. No, I mean, I will say that, like, I think, and I think this is what you're getting at. One of the problems I think that men have in relationships is that women love alpha males, right? So when you're in charge of some shit, that makes girls want to fuck you, right? If you're like the leader of the band, or you're the comic, you're the headlining comic, or
you have a
it's your
podcast,
right? Yeah. So like that, but so women love men in charge of some. If you're in charge of some shit, girls want to fuck you. The problem is
Miranda.
That there's nothing women hate more in a relationship than not being in charge, right? They want to run the ship. So what a woman does is she finds an alpha male, and then she tries to fucking neuter him and make him beta and listen to her, right? Mm-hmm. And so as a dude, right, you got two choices. You can either not listen to her, like, nah, bitch, I ain't going to the symphony, right? I'm going to watch NASCAR, right? But if you stay alpha, then she's pissed at you, and she won't fuck you because you're a dick, right? She'll call her friends. Right. My boyfriend's a dick. Mine too. Nah. All right? So like... I've always said I think women are friends. I think women date assholes so they can have female friends, right? Because if you call your girlfriend up and you're like, he bought me flowers, he's great. She's like, bitch, and she hangs up. But if he's an asshole too, then you guys can bond, right?
That's really true.
So,
that's profound.
If I wasn't an asshole, what would you talk about with your girlfriends? Anyway, so if you stay alpha, then you don't get laid because she's mad at you, right? Or you can come beta, and you can start listening. Wake up every morning and look at the whiteboard, hoping to get a sticker, right? You know, you look for your assignments. Oh, my God, I hope I get a sticker. I'm 37 stickers from a blowjob, right? Call your friends up. I'm only 113 stickers to anal, dude. I think it's going to happen next winter, as long as we have enough leaves to rake or whatever that shit, right? But then she won't fuck you because you're a pussy, right? If she wanted to fuck pussy, she would have stayed with that dude she met in college, right?
Yeah.
So as a dude, dating a woman is like driving a stick shift, right? You got to find too much of a dick, not too much of a pussy, right? So my advice to a man is, when you're dating a woman, listen to everything she says, put her on a pedestal, twice a year, punch her in the fucking mouth. Now, I don't mean, like... And not physically, not really, not physically. Just put some doubt in her brain that you're not as pussy whipped as she thinks. Maybe you got some. Make her fuck for her life a little bit. You know, like, I'm gonna keep this mother, right? Like, just like here's
buy a Ray Rice jersey.
Well, no, now you can't be a dick. Now that's funny, but you can't be a dick because here's the thing: if you're an asshole, then you're an asshole, and she's not gonna like that. What you want to do is you want to create a scenario where she thinks you're a dick. But when you reveal what's actually going on, you're a big sweetie and she's just crazy.
Right.
Right? Like that's what here's one. Like so every Thursday, take $200 out of the bank machine. Don't say shit about it. Just take $200, put it in your pocket. She's gonna notice immediately. Women bounce their checkbook every 3 fucking hours, right? So they're gonna if she loves you, she'll give you some run a little bit, right? That's actually how you know how good a relationship you're. If she doesn't trust you, first day, where the fuck's this money, dick? Right? So the most I've ever seen is 3 months, right? 3 months. That's $2,400, right? But eventually she's gonna fucking snap. Where's this fucking money going? It's in her brain every day. Where the fuck's this money going? You getting hookers? You getting fucking massage? What the fuck are you doing with this money, right? Finally, she snaps. She comes in the bedroom. She's got a bank statement. You're paperless, but she's sent away for this shit for an exhibit, right?
She checked the box.
She's like, where the fuck is this $2,400? You're like, what? Don't you trust? No, I don't fucking trust you. Where's this goddamn money? And that's when you reach in the dresser, and you put $395 retail. Engraved on it says, happy anniversary, I'll love you forever, $5. And you say, I was going to save this for our anniversary and surprise you, but I guess you ruined that, you crazy bitch. You throw it to her. That'll keep her off your ass for 5 years.
It's 5 good years, honestly. Personally, I don't condone violence towards women.
Well, no, and I'm not saying actually punch them. That's terrible.
But a metaphorical punch in the face isn't going to do anything.
Did you just say it's not true, Miranda?
It's an option. Some women like that. They want to be punched in the face, right? You know, step on my neck. That sort of thing.
I have a solution to domestic violence. I actually really think we should stop. I hate domestic violence. It pisses me off. So I have a solution. It's this. Step one, ladies, stop fucking guys that punch you. Step two, that's it. There is no step two. I don't let women stab me. I have a one stab, zero tolerance policy. You stab me once, we're fucking breaking up. I'm sorry. I don't care if your dad was mean to you. I don't care if you were drunk. I don't care if you buy me flowers. You stab me once, get the fuck out of my house. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, well, that rules Miranda out.
Oh, that's for totally sure.
Now, you and I have something in common. We're actually going to work on a book at some point about this, and hopefully not too soon before they all die, God willing. We fucking hate baby boomers.
Oh, God, yeah. Fucking hate baby boomers.
Can I get a round of applause? Fuck the baby boomers.
The worst generation of all time.
The worst generation ever.
No.
Listen, I see Dan in the back. You're a very nice man.
Look, I love my parents. I love my parents.
Dorn, you're not a nice man. I can't have it. You guys have to go.
Systemically eliminated.
Right.
No, it's yeah. They are the worst. The baby boomers are the worst generation. They do every drug known to man.
Right.
The minute they have kids, war on drugs. Fuck right. You guys. Seriously? Right? Like, are you serious? Like, they same thing with sex, right? They had sex with fucking everybody, and then abstinence only. Okay, you dicks, right? Like, they lost a war.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to lose a war as America?
Very hard.
Right? Until the baby boomers, we were like 13-0 if you're from the north. And
Bittner. Better march to the sea.
And they haven't won one yet. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of baby boomers. I think they're the fucking.
I'm not either. I mean, it's we were promised a lot as millennials, and then we had to fight their war. We had to rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars of student debt. We went to private schools because they told us that's where we should go. And then as soon as we get out of the job market, we're making $30,000 because the baby boomers won't fucking retire.
They won't retire. Yeah, the economy can only handle two generations of people at a time. The reason the millennials can't find jobs is because the boomers won't fucking quit.
Right. Because
they didn't save any goddamn money because they blew all their money in the 80s on Porsches and fucking cocaine.
Right.
And now they have no fucking retirement. The fucking dicks. I'm so... Yeah.
Everybody was Gordon Gekko in the 1980s.
Oh, they all were, man. Fuck, they rated all... My grandfather, who was in the greatest generation, had a pension. He made $72,000 until he died at 93 years old,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
And then in the 80s, the boomers were like, fuck these pensions, and they traded all the pensions in for cocaine, and now they're fucked. It's stupid. I just, yeah. And the part of the problem with the baby boomers for me is it's the first generation that split in half, right? Like, the greatest generation, they all went to World War II. They were all in it together. It was one big group. And then the baby boomers, you had the good kids, which is your crop haircut, your go to Vietnam, the government's awesome, we love Ike and Nixon and Johnson, all that, support the government. And then you had your bad kids, right? Your hippies, your fucking fuckers, your all those people, whatever, right? So Clintons, but it doesn't matter. You had your hippies and your let's do drugs and have sex or whatever. And
right.
The good kids hated the bad kids because you're not promised by their parents that eventually the bad kids would get theirs. They would fucking, their comeuppance would come up, right? And then, that's why they hated Clinton so much, because then a bad kid became president. You can't be president, you're bad! Right?
Right.
It's still that same fucking fight. It's bad. And then what's funny is they flip-flop, because in the 60s, the good kids were pro-government, and the bad kids were anti-government, right? But then once the good kids realized the government wasn't going to punish the bad kids, like, fuck government, what's the point if they're not punishing? And the good kids are like, wait, we can get free shit? Let's be government, right? So they flip-flopped, right? They flip-flopped. So here's what I'll say about the baby boomers. This is, remember in the 60s when they vowed to destroy the system? Mm-hmm. Nice work, guys. That's some follow-through on your part. Took
you guys
50
really
fucking
did a good
years,
job.
But you did a good job of destroying
the
everything.
The system's like, huge and overmanaged, but it doesn't do shit.
Yeah, but once the boomers are dead, I think America will be great.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I totally agree. I mean, you guys seem lovely, and thank you so much for joining us.
I'm just saying,
us.
That's going to end racism, homophobia. I mean, like, if you want to, if you truly want to get rid of racism, quit trying to cure cancer, is all I'm saying. Like, fucking the more people, like, let's not get rid of Alzheimer's and dementia. That's getting rid of racism. They forget how racist they are because they're dealing with dementia. So I'm just saying, quit studying that shit. I think everyone should die when they're 70. That's my point.
Right.
There should be a maximum age.
We're not actually going to throw boomers out of a helicopter. All right. She looks very upset at me. I'm about to be
By the way, you're not a baby boomer. You're 38. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So you're beautiful.
That's how you...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can
you're,
tell, right?
Yeah. You're a little long.
And by the way, there's some good ones, but not many.
It only takes one bad Skittle. Runs it for everybody.
Yes.
Let's. You ever had a bad Skittle? What's a bad Skittle?
No, do you remember during the election, Donald Trump Jr. tweeted out about the Muslim ban? It only that was his metaphor. One
Jesus
bad Skittle
Christ.
And a bowl of Skittles.
Yeah. I don't listen to Don Trump. I've never found Don Trump Jr. on Twitter. Remember what Don Trump Jr. said? No, I really fucking don't. I've spent no time.
Well, clearly you're not on a libertarian podcast, or else you fucking know.
I've spent no time thinking about what Trump's kid fucking thinks. That's
you
all
told
I'm
me
saying.
He listened.
To this podcast? No, I don't.
No,
to this
no. He just wants.
I've been here at the live once a couple times, but yeah. I just argue with people
now,
in the back.
Let's continue down exploring the philosophy of Chris Bowers, because there is no one who has a philosophy like Chris Bowers. And I think we need to get right to it and talk about the most controversial issue of all time. The one that divides everybody.
Right.
Which is abortion, Chris.
Okay.
So.
Well, here's my, I don't understand why people are so, because I'm, in my religion, an aborted baby's soul goes to heaven.
Which
right?
What is your religion?
I'm Catholic, so okay. It goes to heaven, right? There's no purgatory anymore. We got rid of that in the 60s. Vatican II, look it up, right? That's so it's there's no purgatory. It doesn't go to hell because you don't commit original sin until you're born.
Right.
That's why we baptize babies, not fetuses, which is kind of a weird loophole, right?
That is, yeah.
So it goes to heaven, which is eternal happiness, right? So you're not hurting the kid at all, right? He gets to go to heaven. So I was asking a friend of mine one time, I'm like, what's heaven like? He's like, oh, it's amazing. You're with Jesus, it's utopia. I'm like, that's cool. I said, do you have like a job in heaven? He goes, what? You have a job? You just hang out. Okay, cool. What, do you have like a house and stuff? He goes, look, man, whatever you need, heaven provides it for you. And that's when I realized why Republicans are so anti-abortion. Heaven is that socialist welfare state they're all so fucking afraid of. And they don't want a bunch of freeloading fetuses going up there that didn't earn it down here, goddammit. There's some like 76-year-old coal miner like, I never coveted shit. I didn't fucking drink. I didn't fuck anybody but my wife. I had sex 4 times. I have 4 kids. And that little fucking bastard gets to go up there for free? Fuck that baby.
Well, that's intense.
I started a comedy career 8-9 years ago with the hope that I could write a joke someday that ended with fuck that baby and people would clap. And,
you succeeded.
It just happened. And
bucket
I'm so
list.
Proud. I'm so proud.
Now you talked about Donald Trump. Yeah. Do you think Donald Trump's a fuckable?
Here's the deal. I am not fuckable. Okay? We'll start with that. So, like, you know, you're trying to argue that you are. I would say you're more lovable than fuckable, but maybe yeah. I'm wrong. You pull occasionally. I'm lovable, right? I've been married twice, so people will love me, not forever, but for a while. And
same, bro.
Right?
Same.
And while they're loving me, they'll have sex with me, because that's what you do when you're in love with somebody. But
right.
I'm not the kind of guy that walks into a bar and has a girl of any level go, ooh, I want to fuck that guy. That's not
right.
me.
I
always have to talk them into it every
you're
fucking
no Chris
time.
Galt.
Right? Like, there's guys that just get laid. And actually, part of the political problem we have is fuckable dudes and unfuckable dudes. Unfuckable dudes hate fuckable dudes. It pisses them off. Right? Like, all the senators making fucking laws against birth control and abortion, they're unfuckable dudes, right?
Right.
They're like, if I'm not fucking, nobody's fucking. Like,
clap,
they're pissed, right? It's like
clap
a,
your
a
hands
thing.
If you would fuck John McCain.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So,
nope.
Yeah,
nobody.
Right? One guy that's not real.
One
so,
guy,
but,
and that's Colin
so,
Schaefer, and he's a nobody.
Yeah, and we know it wasn't John McCain because he can't clap.
Yeah, so,
right.
Well, what'd you say?
So we know it wasn't John McCain because he can't clap.
Solid.
I only
solid
like people
bird.
Who don't get, you know, abducted.
Yeah, yes. So, but in the presidential race, we generally do elect the most fuckable candidate, right? So, like, Eisenhower's a war hero. He's pretty fuckable. Kennedy was super fuckable, right? Nixon wasn't fuckable, but he ran against McGovern, who was super unfuckable.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of that guy.
Total
right?
Total beta cuck.
Yeah,
he was
exactly.
the OG beta faggot.
Yeah, probably, right?
We're
so,
going with cuck now, Greg, okay?
Yeah, cuck. We're doing cuck
Our
now,
insurance
right?
policy with Seth only extends to so many faggots per episode, okay?
Right.
You got to calm it down.
I didn't use them all. That was you.
No, it was not me. I don't say that word.
I
Chris?
Don't say it either. I,
McGovern wasn't fuckable.
If you're unfuckable, you usually only get one term, right? So Nixon got one term. Right. Jimmy Carter got one term. And then Reagan beat him. It was super fuckable. George H.W. Bush, right? He got elected, but he ran against Dukakis, who was super unfuckable. I don't know if you remember him in that tank. Right?
Yeah, with the helmet.
But he lost into Clinton, who's super fuckable. Oh, holy shit. Clinton was... I mean, he fucked it. And then Obama was super fuckable. Well, actually, George W. Bush was fuckable adjacent. Right, he was close, right? But he ran against Al Gore and John Kerry, neither one of which.
No.
I mean, Al Gore's so unfuckable, his wife was against rap lyrics that mentioned fucking. Like, right. She was like, oh, don't mention that to him. He's going to get ideas, right? So,
Al Gore.
Tipper Gore was
aspiring
like,
rap artist.
Well, no, Tipper Gore's put the labels on the fucking CDs. Yeah.
That's why
he's
going to get his chakras aligned at Asian massage parlors.
And then Obama was, whether you like Obama or not, that dude was super fuckable.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I would fuck Obama.
He's
I mean,
hot.
Like, literally, yeah. I would let him fuck me. I'm not disrespectful. Like, I would just like, let's do this, Barack. Anyway, so, and I don't know, I mean, Trump's, Rich kind of skews it, so Trump's fuckable, but even if he wasn't, he ran against Hillary Clinton, who's arguably the most unfuckable person in the history of the United States, when you think about it, right? And and she's a woman. You know how hard it is to be unfuckable as a woman? That is a fucking...
accomplishment.
That's a hard goddamn thing to do, right? Like, that's... Fuck.
So that's how you gauge. It's height and would you bang them, okay? That's the...
It's fuckability is a huge thing.
The guide. Now, Galt here is our original conspiracy theorist. He was talking about Alex Jones... Way before I ever...
There's this guy with a YouTube channel you got to listen to.
Right.
Been telling you for years.
And now he's a huge conspiracy theorist.
Now you're centipedes.
But I need you to explain to him why the moon landing happened.
Well, no, I people that think the moon landing wasn't real, I have some... This is my theory on it. I think it's pretty solid. It's got to be real because he fucked up the line. Right?
Right.
Armstrong was supposed to say, one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, which is a pretty profound statement. And he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, which means the same goddamn thing. He fucked the lineup. If that's in a television studio, they're going to go, cut! Jesus Christ, Neil. Come on. What the fuck are you doing? It's a man, you dumb shit. Right?
That's put some more wrinkles in that flag.
Right?
Get this like, thing right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't, like, why would you fake it and then fuck up the line?
I guess that's what I'm saying. Aired the blooper reel.
Yeah, I guess. So I'm just saying they would have said, cut, all right, no, say a man, because that makes it more of a cool statement. So, yeah. You know. Now, did I tell you, I know you had a whole episode on this, but just very quickly, my Kennedy theory is that Kennedy was killed by Jackie Onassis.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good move on her part.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Okay, so.
Pretty good move? She's sitting right next to him.
Well, no, but here's, she had to be. She was part
so
of the
brave.
Plot. So think about this. Here's my theory on it, right? So, first of all, Jackie Kennedy had a miscarriage. Right, about a year before this all happened. And she went on a 3-month cruise of the Greek islands with who? Aristotle Onassis, the billionaire shipping magnate. If you're going to kill the president of the United States, you're going to have $1 billion, right? So she is unhappy. Her husband cheats on her with everybody in the fucking world. She falls in love with this Greek billionaire, right? But she can't leave the president of the United States in 1963. You're the fucking first lady. It's Camelot, for Christ's sake. But she doesn't want to wait for another 5 years to get away from this crazy person who fucks Marilyn Monroe and probably going to give her syphilis and die, right? So she hatches this plot. Now, here's where I think you can see that it's real. All right, now, let's say we were in love, right? Let's say me and you were in love, right? And we're in a car, and a shot rings out, and you get hit I get hit in the neck, and I fall over in your lap, right? What's your initial instinct to someone you love? You cover them up. You try to protect them. What's Jackie do? She lifts his ass up, fucking headshot. Then she jumps out of the car because what the fuck did I just do? Oh, my God, I killed my husband. I'm out of here.
That's a good point. I never realized that. Yeah.
You don't lift the motherfucker up if you're trying to protect him. You're like, oh, that hit his neck. I still hear him breathing. Honey, what happened? Where are your shoes at? Blammo. Done.
Fucking
kill shot. Kill shot. It was Jackie O. And then, by the way, she fucking did the thing. John, the whole
thing.
Yeah, when he saluted the casket and all that, she did the little thing for however long she had to be there until it wasn't weird. And then married who? Aristotle Onassis. She was with the rest of her life because it was her soulmate. And it's a small price to pay. Kill a president to be with your soulmate. That's all I'm saying.
Now, is this one you've heard?
No, Greg's trying to make sure he gets all these details right so he can be on the Alex Jones show tomorrow.
Well, yeah.
Honestly. That's a Chris Bowers original.
Two weeks
that
he's in the White House.
That's from my own watching of the film.
Colin, you've been called a lot of things, but I'm sure you've never been called a globalist.
I don't know what that means. Globalist means I'm for the globe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, shit. We got a globalist on the show.
Come on,
Colin. Get up here and get him out of here.
What's a I'm not a globalist.
A globalist is a put-down of somebody who believes in global government.
Oh, yeah. I don't
like the UN rules over everything, all that kind of stuff.
No, I'd rather it be multinational corporations.
International obviously. Bankers.
We want corporations to rule it. Nah,
then it kind of descends into anti-Semitism.
I worry about my own little sphere of influence. I don't really give a shit. But here's something. Okay, explain this to me. If someone I don't know dies, why do I give a fuck?
I don't know why.
I don't know why. I don't care. I'm saying if tomorrow I woke up and all of France was dead, I wouldn't give a fuck about whether all of France died. I don't care at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the most American thing ever said on this podcast.
But I'm saying if everyone in Alabama died tomorrow, I wouldn't give a fuck about that either. Like, I don't care. It's not about a country. I'm just saying I'm sad if someone I know dies, but and no one's ever been able to give me an explanation why I'm supposed to care other than you're supposed to. But why do I care? Why do I give a fuck? I don't care if everyone in Africa starves to death. I don't give a shit. Why do I care?
Well, clearly none of us do.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I just don't.
Very good. Well, Chris Bowers.
So you don't have an answer to my question, why I should care.
You're the first person to make libertarians sound compassionate.
You have no idea, but we brought you up here to make us look good.
I mean, after this, I mean, the reason we brought Chris up, we didn't tell him this ahead of time, is that when you listen to the podcast, you go, these guys are all right. They got to really together. Bowers takes it and he goes, all right, fuck babies. You know what I mean? Like, fuck babies. Fuck,
I don't know that baby. Why the fuck should I feel bad about
why?
That?
I mean, this is just a baby.
I really don't give a fuck about babies. Why would I care about
yeah.
I mean, I care about your baby if you have a baby, but I don't, like, it's like people with cats and dogs. I'm sure your cat's great, but I don't need to save all the fucking cats. I'm not saving the squirrels. Fucking who gives a shit? If a fucking cat no one knows dies, I don't care.
I also like the person that clapped when we said fuck babies. I don't know who that is. That was pretty funny.
Miranda,
yeah. Yeah.
I bet you do.
So, Chris Bowers, anything else that you'd like to impart on the audience tonight?
No, I think I've had a good time. I mean, I appreciate no one standing up and throwing things at me, I guess.
And absolutely.
I mean, my goal is I say something that you don't believe, and then by the time I get done saying what I'm going to say, you're like, okay, he's an idiot, but I see where he's coming from. Like, I don't think anybody, like, ever agree. Like, I have this kind of Svengali thing where, like, if you're talking to me for a while, you're like, oh, that makes sense. And then you get in your car, and you're like, no, it fucking doesn't. What is wrong with this guy?
A reality distortion field.
How the fuck did he convince me of that? What a dumb fucking theory. Jesus Christ. Like, people will get home and call me and go, I don't fucking. And that's actually, I guess I'll end with this. This is a new thing I'm working on. But the idea that, like, you ever somebody agree with you, and then once you talk to him for a minute, you realize it's for all the wrong reasons. And you have to take it back your agreement, you know? Like, some dude's like, yo, Donald Trump's pissing me off. I'm like, yeah, I can see that. He's like, can you believe he's still going to let gays get married? Oh, fuck, that's not what I meant, dude. I wasn't on that train. Jesus Christ. Somebody's like, oh, I'm pro-choice. Oh, I'm pro-choice. I mean, you can't get rid of abortion. What if your daughter got pregnant by a black guy? Oh, fuck, no. That's not what I mean. Jesus Christ, man. And that's the problem with being... That's the problem with being liberals. That's why we lose all the goddamn time, right? Because conservatives don't give a fuck why you agree as long as you agree, right? They're a team, you know? So it's like, I want a wall. Why do you want a wall? Hate Mexicans. You're in. Let's do this, right? Why do you want a wall? Scared of terrorists. You're in. Let's do this. Why do you want a wall? I sell walls. You're in. Let's do this. Let's fucking go, you know? We got a wall, guys. It's going to be fucking great. So.
Yeah.
So the last thing I'll say, too, is, again, I don't think it's in this room, but, like, you know, I'm liberal-ish. I'm not so liberal I'm scared. Like, I don't think Donald Trump's going to blow up the world the next three fucking months. I just don't think he's an asshole like they've always, but they've all been assholes, right? It's the whole point of it, you know? And so, like, you know, it's just they're all assholes. I mean, it's just, if you're gonna want to do that, you're going to be an asshole.
Like, the choice between Hillary and Donald is, like, a choice between do you want your asshole gaping or extremely open? Like, that's a big fucking
sure,
asshole.
Sure, sure, sure. And by asshole, I mean borders. Anyway, doesn't matter. So anyway, so I just, so I'm not, but what I want to say to my super liberal friends on Facebook, and I don't get political on Facebook, so I don't care, but like when they're like, Trump is going to end the world the next 3 months, why the fuck aren't you partying, man?
Right.
Seriously, you're not drinking every night. Quit your jobs. Quit paying your mortgage. You're still wearing condoms and taking cholesterol medicine. What the fuck is wrong with you? if you think the world's over, don't just spend the last 3 months pissed off on Facebook. That sounds ridiculous. Right? Fucking go out and fuck something, man. Right. What are you doing? Like, come on.
Anything.
Anything, I mean, right?
It's nobody like, can judge you in 2 months.
You know, well, it's like you ever, like, if a plane's gonna crash, if I'm in a plane it's gonna crash, I'm gonna fuck something. I'm not gonna be like, oh no, don't crash. I'm gonna be like, let's do this. I don't know, man.
All right, never fly with Chris Bowers. Yeah. You're a nice guy, don't fuck me.
You ever been on a plane next to a woman who was so much hotter than you, you kind of hoped the plane would crash?
It never occurred to me that if the plane crashed, I'd rape a woman. That has never been
No, by the way, not rape. I'm just saying you have no idea how much game you have when you both have 3 minutes to live.
That's true.
He's got right? a point.
Like, do we really want to die and do this? It'll be like a romantic novel.
And what then, if she says no?
Well, then you move across the aisle. There's probably somebody.
it's a game of odds.
You
like,
just stand
you
up.
Hey, you don't know.
Does anyone want to fuck before we die?
So like,
somebody's gonna go. I'll fuck. I guess. Let's do that.
Like,
it'll be the creepy libertarian in the back.
The little old lady in aisle 3.
It's a game of odds, and your odds vastly increase when the plane's crashing. You know, obviously you start with a 10, and then, you know, you go down, I guess. But you're going to get somebody.
This is a really intricate thought process while a plane's going down.
This is what we do here at We Are Libertarians. We're thinkers. Okay?
What kind of algorithm could I create while a plane's ready to... I'm about to die, so a woman will fuck me.
I start on the other side, though. By the way, Chris, I start on the other side of that. Like, when I walk in a room and I see a bunch of women, I start at the angle where I think I can get and then work up from there.
Low-hanging fruit.
I don't go to the top down. That's going to waste a lot of time.
You have a famous friend, and you're at a pool party. Tell that story where you're...
All right, so I have a rich, hot friend. We'll call him Pat. And one time, I was at a pool party at Pat's house, and I was talking to a woman that I would describe as in my league. Does that make sense? Look at me. Imagine what I could get. That's what she looks like. Now, I'm not making fun of her. She's beautiful to me. I would be honored, but I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm not out kicking my coverage. I'm in my fucking lane, right? As I'm talking to her, she goes, oh, sorry, I like Pat. Oh, the super hot, super rich, super famous guy. Cool. Do you see the beautifully stunning woman that Pat's talking to? That's who I want to fuck. But we're here now. We're what we call settlers. We live in Oklahoma, baby. Get out of the wagon. We're not making it to California.
How can people follow you?
On Twitter, @BowersComedy. My Snapchat is fun, @BowersComedy on Snapchat. It's just me descending into drunken madness every night. And
once you see him get to T-Rex arms on the Snapchat,
that's when you know I'm drunk.
He's
and
fucking
then,
gone.
And then Bowers Comic on Facebook. And I'm friends with Spangle and all that stuff, so if you find Spangle, you can find
so
me.
So search for me. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Bowers.
Hey, thanks so
thanks,
much for
guys.
Coming on, man.
Appreciate it.
He is a funny guy.
And I thought I was offensive.
Yeah, no, that's why we had to bring him on. I mean,
should have worn a Nazi sweatshirt or something.
We had to recalibrate the audience.
Greg walks up in a Christmas swastika.
Infowars.com, 1999.
I've got some tachos in front of me, and let me just say, the audience couldn't love me eating on the air more. Based on the feedback from the Chick-fil-A episode.
Well, that's they're enjoying Bittner's misery.
That's a good point. Who's never Bittner here?
Yeah.
I got a standing ovation. Oh, these are really good.
You really enjoying those?
Honestly, and there's pulled pork on it, too. Like, I'm honestly about to cancel the rest of the podcast just to eat these tachos.
Oh, my God, Mittens is here. Or one of her hairs.
Oh, Mittens. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is one of the original, well, not the original co-hosts, but somebody who was on the podcast for a very long time. It's Gina Martinez, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello,
now,
hello.
I never thought that I would see you return to the podcast. We had talked a few months ago, and you said, I'm not really interested in that. Yeah. And I said, you're female. You're not interested in libertarian podcasts. I get it.
I don't recall that conversation, Spangle Bear. How did it go?
I was putting myself down. Can you go with it, please? We're on the comedy stage here.
If it makes you happy.
See, this is why I love Gina. We fight.
Oh, yes. It's brutal up here. Okay. So we didn't fight, actually. I showed up at your place to tape a broadcast,
yeah.
And you were at a family event or function.
Right.
And they said, just let me know when you're going to record.
Right.
Text me, and I'll be there.
Yeah. And
3 years later, he texts me, and I don't know why your femaleness won't allow you to be on a libertarian broadcast.
No, we've been trying to get a female on the podcast forever, and we tried to get Chloe on regularly, but then she just went to some other podcast.
I don't know. I don't buy
which
it.
Which, honestly, I get. If you're trying to be somebody in the world, you wouldn't want to associate with us.
Well, you just joined the Liberty Caucus.
Right, yeah. And if we can get Avery to turn up Gina's mic, please, that'd be awesome. Gina Bear, you were on the podcast from the 20s to probably the 50s.
You were
our libertarian. And you questioned a lot of our ideas.
That's a fact. Yeah, that one absolutely. I'll agree with. I totally questioned a lot of the shit you say.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the shit we say is questionable.
Generally.
Yes.
Shit you guys say.
So.
Can I just say, hey, Creighton, how long's it been?
Yeah.
It's been, what, 200? So like 170 episodes.
At least.
I think it was the Boston bombing was the last time you two were on together.
Yeah, the Boston bombing. It's Chris and Sam's, my ex-wife.
Yeah, so that's
before ex-wife, round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Shame she couldn't make it.
She was thinking about it, actually. Sam and I have become friends, and she actually sent me a very sweet note saying, hey, I wish I could be there, but congratulations, would love for you to be here. And so we've become very friendly. You two were there for the night that ended my marriage.
Yeah. That was a night.
That was something.
It was. If you go back in the feed, it is.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode. Mostly because I stopped talking halfway through. She starts packing her shit and leaving. I did.
That happened. That,
you know, I wish we'd done play by play and just stopped whatever we're
doing. Right,
about.
Like, what you doing, Sam?
There goes the book collection.
The show must go on.
And look, half the cats.
Yeah, those It Works. Oh, those are heavy.
Like, all right, she had kind of been, and I feel like I can talk about this now because we are friends. Like, she had kind of been unhappy.
Great timing.
Well, we were together 6.5 years, and she was unhappy 9 months in. We stuck it out. And I wasn't happy either. We were much better as friends. And so it was one of the few times that I told her, I didn't tell her we were doing a podcast. She walks in and sees two people in her apartment. She had a rough day. And she just decided, you know what I'm going to do to make this day better? I'm going to leave my husband. Christy knows it makes a day great, honestly. And so we're in the middle of the podcast, and I just kind of see her scurrying around, picking some things up, and I'm like, well, I hope this isn't exactly what I think it's going to be.
That's how committed you are. You didn't stop. You didn't say, we're going to have to cut this one short. You just were like, well,
when I say,
physically removed, so to speak.
When I say to the audience that I am you and you are me, we're one as a host and audience. It's true. I will give up anything for you people, especially you, Christy. We need more people like you.
Yes, absolutely.
Give Christy
Avery.
And so they witnessed that moment, and then they told off air afterwards. I'm kind of sitting there cleaning up, going, all right, what's my next move? And Gina kind of passes in the hallway. Sam said what?
I sincerely don't remember.
What?
She said
that is it?
Yeah.
I have had enough.
Yeah, okay.
And we're getting a divorce. But you two had heard that a lot.
Sure. I mean, any person who's lived in a home where two heteronormative people try to share, you're going to hear that phrase.
Yeah.
That's it. I've had enough. It's
yeah.
over. But about, you know, 40% of the time, they mean it.
Nobody does divorce better than millennials. We learned
forever until I'm slightly inconvenienced.
We learned from the
practice
best generation
does make perfect.
At giving up on your marriage.
We got to watch firsthand what it looks like.
Baby boomers stick it out. That's right.
Some
these two couldn't hate each other more. They've been, but they're together. Goddamn it. That's right. And very happy for you two. Now,
what are you? So what else besides the fallout of Camelot, if you will, on the south side?
She just called your marriage Camelot.
Camelot. Trust me, it ended up with me getting shot in the head, that's for sure.
Well, like, at this point, I've heard Where's Bowers? I don't want to, like...
No, you can say whatever you want.
I've heard more about Bowers' bowel movements than I have about this cult.
Yeah, see, Gina's not really been around. We've kind of kept up a little bit. But this is really the first time that we have been together since 2013.
No, Harry mansplained her and she left.
Right.
Who, what?
Harry came in.
Harry, remember you two got
the thing that's missing is Maya with her AR-15 trying to shoot us all.
Yes.
And there was one after that in the summer.
Wait, what?
On the 100th episode,
I missed all
Maya
of this.
Maya came charging into my apartment with an AR-15 that was loaded and started pointing it at everybody going, I'm going to fucking kill you!
That was like every single thing.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
God, it was hilarious, right, guys?
This is why I quit the show.
Quit's a bit.
Quit's a strong word. Yeah. Kicked your fucking ass out for causing problems is a better word, okay? Now,
but we let Maya keep coming on.
Guys, fluoride is a conspiracy. Google it.
It's not a conspiracy. It's fact.
Do you still have that Fox News link saved?
Listen.
The Fox News link that you shared to prove that was those were your documents?
You honest to God believe that fluoride is what?
Well, it's bad for you.
It's bad for you in what way?
What? Thank you.
Say it into the mic so the audience can hear it.
Fluoride is
a neurotoxin.
The worst chemical that you can ingest into your body. Period.
Except for all those other chemicals that kill you at like half a microgram.
Have another fucking beer there, Galt, all right? Jesus.
Hey. You know your conspiracy theory is legit when it came from a Stanley Kubrick movie in the 1950s.
Right. Oh, boy.
So Galt and Creighton have not been in the same room since they had a fist fight over fluoride. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
I'm sorry, over fluoride.
It wasn't over fluoride.
The things libertarians fight about. It's
we are not my friend anymore.
We had a fight in the chat about
if you don't brush your teeth with filtered Aquafina, I'm not fucking talking to you.
You know, Chris Spangle can't make
fucking
fun of
Fiji
you
or you're
anything,
out.
Though. He's got some woke Alex Jones anti-fluoride toothpaste in his bathroom.
Listen,
I'm Creighton.
I'm going to need you to take a little bit of this Superman vitality, please.
I dare you.
Right.
Creighton really
I dare you to do
more
it.
More than I'm anyone good, else yo. Here. Creighton.
Show us.
Woke. Come on, do it.
Do it.
Woke.
Come on, Creighton. Hey, I know. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to open that up, Galt, and you're going to feed that to him like a baby bird. You're going to baby bird that to him. You're going to lean your head back, all right?
Get that shit out of my face.
You're not going to do it?
No, fuck no.
Oh.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
Galt, take a hit of that. We're going to need you to get extra woke, please.
It did almost kill Bittner when we gave it to him.
It did. Bittner. Bittner almost died.
Yeah.
I'd have him up to talk about it because nobody loves to talk about Bittner more than Bittner. But he's been on 3 episodes in a row, and I can't do that to my co-host.
Oh, no, you don't. Feel free.
No.
Feel free.
No, I'm trying to blame you, okay? So
I know.
I don't look like the bad guy. Jesus, take it. So let's talk about our favorite. So on the 100th episode, we had everybody.
We did.
So
right?
For the
that
200th
was a good episode.
Episode, were you there for the 100th?
I thought so. I was there for one of the significant
what
numbers.
What did we talk about anything?
I don't remember.
I don't count so good.
You go back and listen to it. But I wanted to have
all the
original people on the cast to just kind of catch up and talk a little bit about our favorite Weird Libertarians memories. The parts that we loved the most. Let's start with Greg. Greg, what has been your favorite memory?
My favorite memory? God, there have been so many, but...
Does it have to be on the podcast, or does it have to be involving the people on the podcast?
All of it.
But, like, so my favorite memory, hands down, was actually... It wasn't Galt and Creighton split. Like, it really wasn't over fluoride. What triggered it... was which communications medium internally is most appropriate to use.
It was literally the pettiest argument of
all
time. Oh,
it doesn't get more petty. Like, you couldn't be more petty if you said that you wish your dad or your former boss was dead, like Bob Knight this week. Like, that level of petty. But so, Galt is so pro-Google, it's unbelievable.
If you go on the contributors page right now, I'm the first one. Click my name, it goes to Google Plus. It doesn't go to Facebook.
I didn't take it to Facebook.
Because he's so cool.
But so he was just adamant that Facebook was no good. It was worthless. We shouldn't be using it. Google Plus or Google's so much better. And we
Still
all,
is.
In our defense, we're all like, okay, we'll go over there. We'll try it. So you and I.
Because
the
we
first
like
live
Walt.
Broadcasts we ever did were on Google.
Google
yeah,
Hangouts.
Google
yeah,
Hangouts.
That's how we met Harry.
Yep.
And I wanted to give it a shot because I like Galt a lot. And anybody that contributes to Weird Libertarians, I really appreciate that, and I want to encourage people and give into their ideas. That's why we're doing Trello with Harry. And so when he said, let's switch chat over to Google Hangout, I was like, all right, let's just give this a shot, guys. In a separate chat you weren't involved in. Because we're catty bitches like that, okay?
It was an inside job.
It was an inside job for sure.
So like just you know, placate the guy, and then we'll kick him out. It'll be real quick.
We get to the chat, and then what happens?
Well, so we get over there, and then clearly we cannot just upload memes. You know, right? It's impossible to actually just directly upload a meme or copy and paste a meme.
That was the deal breaker.
And you were living.
I was in charge of this. I was like, no.
I have to go to Imgur, yeah. Copy the address, and then post it in here with it. I'm not fucking doing that. That is stupid. You're stupid. Fuck Google. And this is
how it happened.
Gall, purely to be contrarian and not give any, you would not budge to Creighton. He's like, oh, you got a fucking link to memes? That's a reason not to use it?
All I did was use the Google Plus to shitpost about Creighton.
Oh, you did? Like
you guys couldn't stop me.
Well, you go, you're so immature. You're so fucking immature. Oh, I need to be able to directly upload memes. And then Creighton's just like, no, fuck this. And he left. And then Galt's just hanging around, and you and I are like, oh, God. So
we stayed in to watch.
Yeah, but then we go back to wall chat on Facebook, and then finally Galt reappears because he's, you know, alone in an echo chamber over on his Google chat.
Left me.
Yeah, over there raging about the globalist shirtless in his chat.
Free and from Facebook's clutches.
Yeah, we get back, and then you just keep badgering Creighton. Because it really wasn't to the point yet that you were going to have to leave the podcast. And
here's what you have to understand about doing a show like this to make it successful. You need drama, okay? You can't have everybody get on a podcast or a radio show or a TV show and agree all the time. You've got to have disagreements. Chris Gauld is one of the most disagreeable people I've ever met in my life. Nobody needles better than Chris Gauld.
I think you're wrong.
And and so I love having Chris on because Chris pushes buttons and he really, you know, he lets people have it.
I knew all of Creighton's were.
And you and Creighton had a past when they were in college that had gone on.
Something like that.
High school?
And they went to high school together, yeah. And Creighton doesn't take any of Galt's shit because Creighton has huge arms and can beat the shit out of most people.
Star running back of my high school football team.
Especially Chris Galt.
This all goes back to the guys that they hate the other guys that can get
right.
laid.
Yeah, exactly right.
I hated Creighton.
Creighton's a good-looking dude who can have any girl that he wants if you talk to him. Galt, you're a lovable
I'm
guy.
Smart.
Yeah. You've got personality. Did he buy it?
Oh, yeah.
And so you two had gotten into it before and consistently, and so...
It was great.
It was a slow boil.
79 viewers, right? It was working.
Exponential growth.
So there's one particular day, and this is when it all fell apart.
Yeah.
It was the wall chat. Sorry, I'm belching up tachos. I'm so professional. The wall chat got lit. And it was you two going back and forth.
It was a meme war.
Right.
It was one of the first wall meme wars.
It was really fun to read, though.
You were hyperventilating. You were like, this is so stupid. Facebook sucks. Because most IT people, like, hate Facebook just because it's popular, I guess. And you're like, Google is so much better. It's going to last forever. I'm such a Google boy.
Still here. All right, nobody even has to use it. Still
Google
there.
Google Plus is still there. You're
still
right.
There.
Yeah.
Told you forever.
I want you to clap if you've looked at your Google Plus in the last 3 months.
It's the only social network that makes MySpace look fucking popular.
Right.
I'm pretty sure more people use MySpace than Google Plus.
MySpace people make fun of Google Plus users.
Oh, wow.
So you two just start going back and forth and start...
Oh, it would just kept escalating.
No, what first happened was we finally said we're not going to use the Google Hangouts.
We made a democratic decision.
He literally left. Like it was that statement. I hit enter on that statement, and the next notification was Chris Gauld has left the chat.
And then the next notification was Chris Gauld has posted on your timeline.
Right.
He invaded your timeline and made it public.
And what did he post on his timeline?
I don't remember.
Well, you just grabbed a bunch of pictures from my Facebook profile and put like memes.
It was like duh, I'm a shill over and over.
Run a libertarian podcast.
He literally
too stupid to link to a meme.
Yeah, right. But that's what it was. Yeah, not, yeah.
He literally made a meme of Creighton that said dur, I'm too stupid to post a meme or something along those lines. And like you have to understand, in 2013, we still had like respectability, and we cared what people thought about us.
Chris cared a lot.
And I cared a lot, and I really wanted everybody to have fun and have a good time.
You guys deleted my memes, so they're not even there now.
Because I had to, yeah.
You didn't have to.
I had
to. You wouldn't have done it today.
Because Creighton messaged me and goes,
you would have left it
hey,
up
man,
there.
I'm trying to get a job. I gotta not have this stuff out there. And I was like,
I remember saying that.
Man, all right,
like,
I'll take
this
it down.
Bullshit.
It's probably a bad idea if we talk about how George W. Bush did 9/11.
Right. We'll get to that. And so, I don't know what he said.
I didn't. Something's about you.
Yes, ma'am? All right. So you two fight, and then it's like Galt just starts going off and just full-on autistic screeching for 5 hours.
I'm like, one of the best at it.
And then he came, and then he got back in the chat.
And Creighton didn't say a single word back to him. He just posted beating dead horse memes.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
For 5 hours.
And then, like, one of the first GIFs I saw was the one Creighton posted of a dead horse getting kicked.
And so...
that one was over fluoride.
So then Chris said, listen, it's me or Creighton. And I said, it's going to be Creighton.
I couldn't believe it.
He also taken control of our social media.
He also had control of the social media.
And wouldn't give it over.
So I had to fight you for it. We jello wrestled. Now, the reason that I picked Creighton over you, and I don't know if I've ever explained this to you. The reason that I am much closer to you than I was with Creighton. I was grooming you to take over for me at the Libertarian Party of Indiana, and I really like you as a person, but you gave me an ultimatum, and you said it has to be me or him, and Creighton never said it has to be me or Galt. And so there was an incident months before that where I just was like, this is not going to last. These two are going to get into a fight, and so I knew there was going to come ahead, and I just had made up my mind at that point. Whoever pushes the issue and says it's me or him, they're gone. So
you could have let me know about that first.
Yeah, I was going to say, in hindsight, how are you the dick? You turned yourself into the dick when it was clearly all
dear
in
Galt.
Favor.
There are terms and conditions. However, you must guess them in advance.
I would have read the contract.
Can I ever do anything right?
That remains to be seen.
Article 1, section 1, don't be a dick.
If you keep that quiet, Galt's the dick forever.
I mean, I just would assume that you...
That's why you brought him on,
though.
Haven't
you guys realized that's why you have followers now? Because you're dicks?
That's true, yeah. No, it's great for business.
I just showed you how to do it, that's
terrible
all.
For my personal life.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose Creighton over you. And it wasn't a choosing. And trust me, I was really bummed out about it. I was sick over the whole thing because, like, the week before, we had just done a great podcast. We had gone over to Scotty's Brewhouse to see our friend Hannah. And you mentioned to me, you were like, God, this is so much fun. This is a great time.
God, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then the next weekend, you were gone, and you didn't come. You came back some point last year, but it was a while. But it really bummed me out, and it really upset me, and it was a shitty situation. But goddamn, did we laugh.
Oh, man, it was funny.
I squealed like, I don't know if I've ever laughed that hard, because the last thing that happened before Galt left, Creighton just snuck in the Ron Burgundy, well, that escalated quickly, man. And I couldn't stop laughing for a couple days. I was still thinking, it'll hit me from time to time and just start dying.
I like that your favorite memory this.
That was my favorite memory that was not on the podcast.
Okay, all right.
My favorite podcast thing was when I was trying to explain to Maya that there might be situations where it could be beneficial for public schooling for socialization reasons that could benefit a kid rather than letting them, you know, just go deep dive into an autism school or something, you know, become weird or basically homeschooled like Bittner.
Right, so you triggered Maya, and what happened, Greg?
So then she doesn't know me well enough to take it out on me. She screams, stands up, drills you in the thigh as hard as I've ever seen someone
in
punch.
My kneecap.
Yeah.
It really messed my knee up for like 6 months.
Gets out, gets the gun out, points it at us, and then storms out. over maybe there are benefits to public schooling.
Yeah. It was one of the most terrifying moments of my life.
I mean, in her defense, Maya is known for her reasonable demeanor weighed out responses.
You don't realize that Maya has been diagnosed as a sociopath, and so she was giving me
you
shit.
You don't realize that that diagnosis means less than shit to so many people.
I understand. But in this case, I said, you know, she gave me shit earlier for telling Aaron that he had to come up and apologize, and I go, listen, it's a joke. Aaron gets it's a joke. It's just to promote the show tonight. And she goes, well, that's not a funny joke. If you really wanted to troll her, you should get with his wife, arrange with her that you can take one of the kids as if you've kidnapped them and you're holding them ransom on stage at We Are Libertarians. I go, that's funny to you. That's me joking that he needs to apologize is out of bounds and hurtful.
You know what would be great?
That's a whole other
Amber
level
alert
of trolling.
But Amber Alerts are hilarious.
Every time.
Total insane person. I love her to death. Look for Maya's new podcast coming soon with the Peffers brothers. You're a big fan of the Peffers brothers.
Oh, yeah. Me and the Pefferses.
Whatever happened
stories.
To Gold? Whatever happened to Gold and Chris and Reddit for your ears and all this stuff?
It was nearly total nonsense.
Chris, shortly after this, I give everybody way too many chances. Right, Greg?
Yes.
Yeah.
But not Gault, because Gault I always liked, and I was, you know, I was probably the most on your side for the things you wanted
true.
To do.
Everybody right now is
I
going,
gave Gault so much shit.
Everybody did.
You're giving Maya a podcast. After 7 years of friendship, haven't you learned? And I'm like, eventually she's probably going to get it, okay? I like Maya. She's my friend. And everybody else is like, don't you just want to, like, have a good day at some point, you know? and so I always give people a lot of chances, especially friends. And so Gault came to me afterwards, and I just said, listen, you can't
come... Can I do my own show?
You can. You want to do your own show. You can't come back on We Are Libertarians, but...
You can visit.
You want to do your own show.
Yeah.
And I
you
said,
sure.
You can
come to the 200th episode.
What? And you pitched me a new show, which was what?
We're going to do a show. It's going to be like Reddit for your ears.
Right. Only the way
it?
You pitched it.
Whatever that means.
All kinds of different random stuff.
You pitched it this way because you were high as a kite. You were beyond. You go, listen, man. This is going to be so great. We're going to talk about...
I was with Chris Peffers.
Anything and everything. It's going to be like Reddit. For your ears.
And his eyes went wide and he leaned
yes,
up on the
it
edge
was
of the seat.
Very theatrical and very hilarious.
He said, what are you going to call it?
And so, you've made it nearly total nonsense.
Because it's not total nonsense, just nearly.
Nearly nonsense, yes.
We get it.
Really, really projected that mic, please.
It's funny because of the nearly.
And so, you did one episode and then Chris Peffers messaged me and he goes, listen, hey man. Another stoner. I know, you can't believe it, can you? Millennial libertarian. Hey, man, I'm not doing this fucking podcast with Gault anymore because he's a real total asshole. Nicest kid who never talks shit about anybody.
Gault beat his own record.
He goes, I got the stuff so you don't have to talk to him. Come pick it up. So you made quite an impression on everybody.
Well, thanks, guys, for joining our roast of Chris.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
No, but you're a different man now, right?
Nope.
No? All right,
nope.
Good.
Same one.
But see, here's the difference. You'd fit. You're going to fit in great again. You're going to fit in great.
I'm going to fit in because you guys have changed.
Yeah. Well, why did we change, Greg?
Alex Jones.
We're truth tellers.
Except me. I haven't changed.
No, it was 4chan.
That grandma did a lot to us.
You changed the course of We Are Libertarians. You didn't even know it. You made us brutal savages, basically.
I introduced them to 4chan.
What was the meme, Creighton?
It was the little old lady, your little old grandma, you know, the little old lady that brings cookies to the pitch-in at church. And it was just a picture of her smiling. And at the bottom it says, I need to give backstory first.
No, like, I don't think you do.
No, the back. The
get
back
to the punchline. Wait. No, let's go back.
Can we have Seth? Seth, no, can you come up here,
not,
please?
It's not
no. We're gonna have Seth.
It's not gonna be.
No. We're out of that.
We're
word.
Out of time
we need
for
Seth
Craig.
To come up here and give the punchline.
Just like the podcast.
What does he have to say? It. Oh, he has to say it.
He knows the punchline.
Okay, that's fine. But I gotta explain the backstory because it's not funny otherwise.
Story.
So what it was there is a contributor to We Are Libertarians, James Neese. I don't know if any of you guys have ever met him. Probably have. Anyway.
He was supposed to be here at 6 to man the
merchandise
booth. Yeah,
he was going to be at the merch table. So I don't remember how the conversation got on it, but Spangle mentioned that he was involved with the creation of 4chan. And Greg had never heard of 4chan at this point. And I thought this was intriguing because I was, you know, I was a longtime lurker. and I went on back onto 4chan after a long hiatus. And the first thing I see is this picture of this little old lady. And I say, I go looking for proof that Niece was involved with the creation of 4chan. And I see this old little old lady with the caption said, what did it say?
I'm a huge faggot. Please rate my face.
Thank you, Seth. Seth Nyman, everybody.
So this.
Seth, picture, how fucking dare you?
I am offended.
So this picture ends up becoming more or less the mascot of the Facebook chat.
Well, the only time I ever had a meme taken down was when I took that language and put it on Rick Santorum and then posted it to the wall page. And I was I was over-enthusiastic. I was just learning how to meme. And so I put it on Rick Santorum thinking, oh, this won't be bad. And Spangle gets flooded with messages. That is so offensive.
I said, no. We're not posting that.
That's the only one you've ever taken down?
Ever. Ever.
And if I'd put it on Lindsey Graham, it would have been true news.
Yeah. they would have been like, dude, yeah, that's not
oh,
surprising.
Shit meme. Is this from Aaron Ewart?
So those are your favorite memories of We Are Libertarians.
Yeah, you getting hit and then the fight. But I didn't mean for you to get hit. I really didn't.
I know you didn't.
I really didn't, because I would have never anticipated.
Your heart was in the right place, but as always, your mouth wasn't.
No, who would have thought you'd get so upset over someone purely saying there might be a scenario where it could be beneficial for mandatory socialization, and it triggers someone so much, they hit their best friend as hard as they can, autistically screech, stand up, pull out their gun, point it at the both of you, and then rage quit in real life.
It was amazing. Maya quit so many times.
Yeah.
So, Gina Bear...
Maya didn't like the word mandatory.
No.
Perhaps if it had been well mandatory, you could have gotten somewhere. You could have made some progress, but with your misogynistic vocabulary, there was no way, not a chance, that you weren't going
to
be facing lead as a
back.
Result.
Oh, God. Here we go.
So, Gina, what were your favorite memories of those days when you were a co-host on We Are Libertarians?
Can I be honest? I miss your cats.
My cats?
Yeah.
All right. That's very honest of you. It's very hurtful,
I mean, your
but
faces,
very honest of you.
Your faces, too, and whatever, but your cats.
Yeah. Mittens and Muffins are the best cats. I got Muffins back, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
All right.
Very good. So anything else that you might have missed?
I've missed all of it, so I was kind of, you know, excited that you invited me back to say hello and to meet
you. Did you miss Harry or the Peppers?
No. All of the hairy peppers can...
I loved Storytime with Gina. It was a podcast that we did a long time ago. We did 15 episodes before you had to step away from the microphone.
Had other obligations.
And Storytime with Gina was a great podcast. It's still out there. And,
no, it's not. Don't look it up.
Yeah, it was great. It was, and I'm hoping that Miranda's World, Miranda's podcast, follows in that same vein because it was very entertaining.
I certainly hope for Miranda's sake it doesn't follow in quite the same vein.
It's probably going to take it a notch higher, to be honest. Greg,
I didn't introduce you two, did I? You guys met each other.
She ran for office.
Okay, so I
came
in. I remember. I walked
actually,
into the Libertarian office and saw her, and I was like...
She's single?
So
she's
I knew...
Yeah.
Because I went to college with her, and I was in some groups. And
right.
It was like a you're not supposed to have political views kind of group. So we didn't know where each other stood.
What kind of group was that?
So there was a group called Democracy Plaza.
It was college.
Sure. Place to stand and talk in college campuses.
Hey, funnier story, we also met James Neese
unbiased.
Because he ran for office.
That's right. James Neese, a longtime candidate.
Where did you guys find Maya?
Maya, I met at a dark alleyway. Jeremiah Hodgkin.
Market Street.
Jeremiah was working this booth at a fair tax rally when I was out there stumping for Rebecca St. Burris in 2010, and then manliest man I've ever met ran over and was like, "Hey, dude, I'm Jeremiah."
Jeremiah.
And then three short years later, she was like,
"I want to feel my breasts. These are my testicles."
Yeah. other thoughts, Gina? Other memories?
I mean, I have thoughts and memories, but I'll keep most of them to myself, where they stay golden and untarnished by your
by reality.
Fettered perspectives.
Creighton, what are your favorite memories? What is the best part of We Are Libertarians for you?
I mean, at the time it wasn't that funny, but now since trying to punch me in the face was pretty funny.
Can I show you what it looked like?
That's my favorite memory, too.
Can I show you what it looked like?
I regret missing that. We've all reenacted
this like 100 times.
But we've never done it live on stage. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have this reenactment. All right? We're going to have a reenactment. So I'm going to need you two to carry the show here.
Okay.
All right. So Galt, Creighton, come over here. All right. So one day we're doing a podcast.
Get out up front.
We're doing a podcast, and... yeah, there's no room. This will work. We're doing a podcast about something, okay? And
it didn't have anything to do with the podcast.
It didn't have anything to do with it. And Galt wanted to talk about conspiracies, okay?
Oh, yeah. We had started arguing about FEMA camps.
Oh, FEMA
right.
camps.
Right. Because back in that time period, we were very worried that FEMA camps were about to take over.
And that is actually true, because a lot of libertarians were sharing that thing about Beech Grove having one.
It's Jessica. Right. Jessica,
that's,
isn't it?
That's kind of what... started it.
Jessica Stiles is here. That's who's cheering for Alex Jones in the back. So he starts he takes over the podcast and starts talking about conspiracies and FEMA camps. And Creighton, who wanted to be a respectable member of society, goes, "You can't do that, man. You can't do that. This is a podcast. We can't talk about
that's
this
not,
sort of
that's
because
not,
the second you do this, you admit, and you
just
started
exactly
screeching at him.
Never be able to run for office.
That's not.
Give my life.
How will I end the Fed?
Right. I'm not wrong, am I?
No, I yelled a lot. I did a lot of yelling.
I remember Jeremiah Morrill sending me a message and going, "Hey, man, can you level out that a little bit? Because it gets real loud in your ears." And I had no idea how to do that at that point. And so...
I can't believe you kept all that on the episode.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? And so the episode ends and they don't quit fighting. Okay, and I know I've got a problem at this point because they're still going. They're hot.
He didn't show it. That's the funniest part of the whole night is that the entire time he's just over there, "Okay, guys."
Yeah, the whole time. Okay. I didn't want,
worst mediator ever.
Because I like conflict.
You're almost agging it on. You brought your decision, your ultimatum on yourself.
Jesus, did I just get gaslit?
You did.
Pretty sure you got called out.
Oh, fuck. Thanks for coming by, Chris.
No,
come back. All right, so it keeps going, and they stand up, and they start getting in each other's face, and you two get how close? It's that close, and I'm like,
Galt, his opinion's still the same.
So I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm watching, and I see them come this close, and I stand up, because I know they're about to get hit. Yes, I did. You won't remember, because you two were yelling at each other's face.
You were sitting down the whole time. You did not stand up until after I had control of the situation.
I secretly hope this becomes a fight.
Hysterically. And so you two are going to go at it, and I'm like, all right, I'm laughing. This is really funny, and I kind of want to see this fight. But I got to stop it because I'm a grown-up, and I can't let these two college students fight in my office. Because there'll be
lying.
Some sort of lawsuit bullshit.
You said that in your tie-dye
Right, shirt. I was wearing a tie-dye shirt. And so
he wore it 6 days a week.
I stood up, and that's when Galt swung. And I just sat back down and went, Because... How did it go? Do you remember how?
It was something like, "This is full speed here."
it literally he
it
went
was in slow
he
motion.
Went like this.
It literally.
Were
it
you
was,
like? Were you intending to hit him? Or it was literally like he just having second thoughts.
Yeah, it was a second thoughts punch is what it was. It was a halfway through. I don't know if I want to do this punch.
There's no taking
all
this back.
All of a sudden, I saw his arms start to bulge, and I said, "What am I doing?"
I was like, I was immediately like, he tried to punch me. I guess I could throw him down on the ground and put him in a headlock now.
He said, "Oh, non-aggression principle out the window."
Yeah,
that's really true.
Literally, the anarcho-capitalist is always screeching about the nap. Is like non-aggression principle.
Unless until like, it comes to fluoride.
And so Creighton grabs him and puts him in a helicopter. Redo it, guys.
No, it was like on the ground. We were on the ground.
And so he puts him and swings him to the ground and has him in a headlock. And the whole time, Galt's down like this and going like this. flailing. Like a wounded animal at Galt.
He was trying to punch me in the head.
I'm in my chair. How? I've never laughed harder in my life. It was the funniest
thing. I'm so mad I wasn't a libertarian earlier. Oh.
And so I let it go because I'm not. I just honestly I want to watch how this plays out. And at a certain point, it was at a stalemate. And I go, Creighton, you gotta let him up. He's gonna hit me, man!
No. I just said, I'll let him up if he says he won't hit me in the head.
And you stupidly yell, I'm not fucking doing that, man! I'm gonna beat his ass! Now, Galt, I gotta admire...
As soon as he gets me up.
I gotta admire your spirit. But in this particular situation, you're a real fucking idiot. Because... He could bench press you.
Right? Yeah. The funniest part about all of this, looking back, was Spangle.
No, what's me? I go, let him up, Spangle. And he goes, I'm not gonna fucking let go, man. I'm gonna beat his ass. And I go, Galt, if you hit him, I will personally walk over and I will sit on you. Because that was my move, apparently. Like that's how I was gonna like take this situation under control. I was gonna sit on them, and I was 330 pounds at that point, so it would have hurt.
But, I said, okay, Daddy.
So Creighton grabs his gear and he goes, fuck this bullshit, man, and like walks
I didn't
his car.
Say that at all.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
And you're
were, trying to make me sound like I was some crazy mad guy.
You were.
I was just mad at Chris. I wasn't mad
He's
at
blaming
you.
Why
victim.
Were you mad at me?
Mad at Chris.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's a podcast with eight Chris's on it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so Galt immediately realizes what he's done. He's not only like... fought one of his friends. He's probably getting kicked off the podcast. He's probably not getting the job, like, working at the Libertarian Party of Indiana. Did you? Huh? Did you ever get a job at the LPIN?
Yeah, I was a campaign manager for
Excellent.
Ed Coleman.
All right, I had your back. Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Don't say it too loud, all right?
Yeah.
Some of us do things in college we're not proud of.
I usually end at campaign manager.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And so, friends Ed Coleman.
So he goes and sits in a dark office and he goes, I don't know, man. I just got to really evaluate some things. I go, yeah, you tried to fight a guy who's 50 pounds larger and just full of muscle. What are you, an idiot?
Over how he's an idiot for not being a conspiracy theorist.
Right, you fought over fluoride. It was honestly.
I mean, it was probably over more personal stuff.
We've done this for 5 years. A lot of stuff.
We did a lot of good things together, Creighton and I.
It was the catalyst was stupid right. ass FEMA camps and
it's,
stuff.
It's like oil
the
and water.
The podcast wasn't the only thing we.
You're
were
gonna be
on.
In FEMA camp. Right. You need to get woke.
I'm gonna put your ass in a FEMA camp.
If you don't say that you're going to FEMA camp, I will hit you in the face.
I'm gonna brush your goddamn teeth and put you in a FEMA camp.
The irony in all this is Beech Grove's basically FEMA camp. Like regardless of if it's there, that's an entire city of FEMA camp.
All right, so Creighton, any other favorite moments?
No, that's probably the best. Or when Niece and I talked about mutualism and fractional reserve banking for like 3 hours.
I couldn't have wanted to kill myself more than that. I checked out on my own podcast. I was like, I'm not listening to this. They're not going to listen to this. But these two nerds are having fun.
Dude, we totally were into it.
I wanted
I'm
to
pretty
murder-
sure. I'm pretty sure, like, it was a stalemate, too.
Yeah. See, the thing about... Annoying to me. And
he
goes, can I bring my guitar over tonight?
That was totally different.
Absolutely 100% not. He goes, all right, I'll be there at 6. Shows
that's
up
not what you said.
With a giant amplifier.
I was somewhere else, and Aviators I was coming on. Back from where I was
It was
at.
The 4th of July, too.
Was it?
Yeah, because you played the Star Spangled Banner.
I just do that all the time. That's a good song to play.
It was so annoying. And like it was an hour after that. You were there playing the guitar for an hour after the podcast. You played during the podcast.
At a certain point, you see why it was triggered. On purpose.
I get it, man. So
he didn't take the hint when he was like, any requests? You're just kind of like,
No.
Silence. Yeah, okay.
Play Skinner.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like. Because he did play Skinner.
That's probably my favorite Creighton moment. It was very, very funny. That or when you came over with a full pump. You know, when you bodybuild, you get a pump and you get your muscles get full of blood and you look gigantic. And Creighton looked gigantic in a muscle tee with his muscles raging and an American flag t-shirt.
How does muscles look?
You're talking about that episode. Yeah. Yeah. I showed up full-fledged American flag, everything.
Another 4th of July episode.
Yeah, that was the 4th of July episode. 4th of July brings out the best in me.
We also almost got him fired.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was a podcast moment, kind of, right?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, Greg and Joe almost got me fired.
I didn't, you know, in our defense, I didn't realize that many people listened.
Yeah. Especially
I don't, you know, it's because, so what happened was I worked for Young Americans for Liberty, and I worked at their headquarters, and we had a convention in Michigan, and I went to an after party, and I drank some. And I gave stupid speeches in front of people.
Well, we egged you on.
I was egged on, but it doesn't matter. I was pretty drunk.
I was like,
drunk.
Creighton right now is playing beer pong with everybody he's a boss for. He's shit-faced. About half these girls are 19 or under. It's 2 a.m. Let's get him up on a chair and have him do the Bill Pullman speech on Independence Day.
And I was
be a good boss.
And I was so we'll game for it, too. I was so game for it.
We're going to be good friends, and we're going to put it on the internet.
Well, yeah, so it's over, and they go back to actually record the episode at their hotel room or whatever. Yeah. And they mentioned me. They mentioned Young Americans Liberty.
Well, they set it up as a joke that you know, Creighton would have loved to have been on.
They put it in the
description
of the episode. So when they post it, my boss gets a Gmail notification about how Google knew Young Americans for Liberty showed up. And he listens to it, and I get an email the next day. We need to have a conversation.
He gets in chat the next day and goes, you fucking guys. You fucking guys.
You also insinuated that he was passed out drunk behind you guys.
Right,
on the
whole
episode.
Time.
Yeah.
He got so shit-faced with a bunch of 19-year-old girls that he's the boss of.
Right. He was actually downstairs.
I was not
he was
there.
He wasn't even at our hotel room. He was at a different hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't even there.
Yeah.
But my boss didn't know anything.
He begged us not to do anything, but you sent a very nice email.
Yeah, and he was like, listen, I'm just scaring him, so he... You know, gets right. His behavior in line and thinks, you know, make sure he can't do this again. I'm like, all right, cool.
Jeff Frazee's a cool dude.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, Jeff Frazee's the coolest boss cool ever. Yeah. And he just had his second
Chris, what
second
about your favorite team. Memories?
Honest?
Yeah.
This one right here.
Aww. Round of applause for Chris Gold.
I mean, look at this. There are more people here right now than listened to the entire podcast when we were doing it.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
There's at least 72 listeners.
One of my goals running the YAL chapter at IEPI with this guy was to build something that lasted after we left. And that's pretty much what we did.
Yeah, absolutely.
With We Are Libertarians.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. So, and we're going to have both of you guys back on more. And Gina Bear, you're so
yes,
welcome
dear.
To come on anytime.
When would that be?
We do it every Thursday night. 7
That's
p.m.
what I've heard before, but then like some niece
she said,
has
"Are you serious?
Here.
Are you going to put me in the group chat now?"
Oh, I'll put yeah.
No,
yeah,
I actually, you've been away for a while. I gave up all social media.
Yeah.
So good you can't group you. Chat on this.
My favorite. There's way too many favorite episodes for me. I think I made the Cost podcast feed because those are my favorite episodes, and part of what I wanted to do in designing We Are Libertarians is talk about libertarian politics and current events in a way that we all talk and make it fun and entertaining, and I think we've mostly done that.
We've tried
with the exception of tonight, sorry guys.
Yeah. So and do it with a group of people that I really enjoy spending time with, because then you'll enjoy spending time with them. And for me, and I've said this before, it's really a dream come true to have 20-25 people that want to be involved, that people will come out to a live show and pay $5 and come out and enjoy this. And it is miraculous that people care about our opinions.
I know. I'm always humbled by that anyone would actually want, one, take the time to, you know, get a better understanding of it or ask me a question about something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we flush it out and talk about it. And it, like Dustin Reed's here, front row, first time to a live event. down from you're the county chairman of Delaware County? Sort of. The titular head. But yeah, and so Dustin and I become great friends, you know, purely trolling the shit out of each other on social media, and we would have never met otherwise, realistically, yeah. Because, you know, if he hadn't invited us that day to lunch down at Scotty's Brewhouse when you were down for the Kentucky game for the March Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, but that's the thing, is everybody, like Aaron Ewart, if he hadn't been socially awkward and given you free toys.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a real weirdo.
And you said, he looks at the ground a lot and he probably won't make eye contact, but he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, I didn't say that, actually.
Then we go to,
meanwhile, he turns out to be the most social person I've ever met in my life.
Right, and he couldn't have been more wrong.
It's like almost diagnosable how extroverted he is.
And then if Tad Western hadn't put an enormous black penis in my hand where a microphone originally was and put my phone number on Craigslist soliciting mail for male interracial... We'd never
had, and so what did you do in return?
I threatened to send a message to the Lauren Spearer Memorial page on Facebook where I had photoshopped his head on it and then put the mouse right over the send button and screenshotted it, and then we became really close friends.
Caitlin's not here. Caitlin, to this day, doesn't know if those photos are real or not.
I know. That's some of my better work.
Yeah.
And it was also the closest I've ever been to a felony.
Yeah. mine was when I turned you into Homeland Security. That was
a felony.
That was a felony, probably.
Turns out.
Also, going to Boston this week, not telling you when.
I told you.
The things you don't know about those you considered friends.
Right. Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he's my good friend. He just got three fingers inserted in his asshole.
I mean, I could ask them to do a fourth next time you fly if you want.
Yeah.
Also, you have beautiful eyelashes. I've never sat this close to you before.
Thank you.
When you guys talk to Greg after the show, make sure you look at these eyelashes. These are really something else.
You can't even tell the fact, can you?
Like, Gina has amazing eyelashes. Those are all real.
I really do, yeah.
Yeah, she has great eyelashes. No, Galt. Sorry.
Galt, would you bat at me again like one of my French girls?
So for me, my favorite on-air stuff happened in the episodes that are on the cost, but it really is almost every week fun to get together and hang out and to do these live shows and like interact with people. That's some of the most fun stuff. There are some episodes where I'm just exhausted and ready for you people to leave. Like last week, it was 12:30 before you guys left, and I was just like,
well,
I want
to
go.
You gave us free reign to basically talk about whatever we wanted for.
I started the podcast on $1.99, and then I went to bed. you'll hear that later.
And then he woke up and finished it off.
I don't know if it's my favorite moment outside of the podcast, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but probably the most touching moment was when Phyllis Kolzinski sent me $200 in, like, late 2013, early 2014.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that anybody ever cared about what we did in any way, shape, or form that someone would give us $200.
A fortune.
Like, it was a fortune, and I immediately bought equipment, and that's when we just started, we tried to fundraise, and everybody who donates money to us, I think that is... I don't want to say it's my favorite part outside of the podcast because that sounds greedy. It's the most humbling part.
Yeah.
And if you are a contributor, and several people have signed up the last week, and I wish I had the list of names. We'll do that on the next episode. But it is what, like in the times when I was getting divorced, we joked a little bit about it earlier, but when you're going through a divorce and you're switching your career at the exact same time, 2014 and 2015 were real dark times in my life, and the podcast gave me a circle of friends to depend on. The people that wrote in and said, hey, why aren't you guys doing regular podcasts? The people who donated money to help us buy equipment or offset hosting costs and things like that.
The people you kicked out.
The people that I kicked out.
Yeah, would have loved for Galt to have been there to give you support, but, yeah. You know.
No, gotta go.
That ultimatum he didn't know about.
And just the people that give to us financially and time-wise, you know, because a lot of us spend a lot of time on this. And, like, to me, that's the best part, is just creating something that people really enjoy, that people want to be a part of, that people look forward to every week. And I don't say that. I say that because people tell us that. I mean, they actually write us and tell us that they like the show, Greg.
That's the thing is that I'm glad. It's not easy to create anything where it's sort of like a tribe or whatever. But this tribe and this group of people are just so smart, it's incredible. Like, every time you guys write in, I'm just blown away about your level of intelligence, your appreciation of history, what you know, and how you help us frame issues better and inform us on things we weren't aware of. It is so humbling, and it's really just an honor to have that quality of individual be around you and want to be around you. And then in another way too, it's nice that the reason you want to be around, I feel like for the most part, isn't because, and that I find more rewarding than anything, is that it's fun first and then knowledgeable second.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you guys are just amazing.
Our goal is to make you laugh first and then think.
Yeah. You guys have done a great job, you know, the podcast.
Thank you.
It's for millennials under 30, right? Which one of you two are under 30?
Oh, fucking right. Age shame me again.
How many
you're
people
going
in
back.
Here are under 30? If you're under 30, clap. How many people are over 30?
Wait,
clap.
Ooh. All right.
I think you might have been branding yourself incorrectly for 200. Well, there's a couple for you.
All right, I got the fresh meat.
If you're under 21 and female, clap.
We're chasing the gazelles.
Check your DMs.
Yeah.
Greg really wanted to say 12, but he's not allowed to.
Hannah, if you can come have my tachos if you want. I know yours got stolen the last time you were here. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you guys so much for coming out. We really appreciate that you guys are a part of We're Libertarians. Don't eat all of them. I want some of them, please. Thank you so much for coming out. You guys, quit hitting on her.
I just said she can eat all of them.
Okay, into the mic. God. It's like starting all over again with this one. I don't have another 3 years to kick you out, okay? Get it together.
But it'll be funny.
Reel it in, little girl.
It'll be funny for the 300th episode when we talk about
it. You remember my favorite part is when Chris Spangle curb stomped Chris Galt. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Based on how we've adopted Hitler, that's probably not all that far out of line.
We haven't adopted Hitler, okay?
I know.
Some of you think that Hitler's very funny, which I don't.
Don't fucking virtue signal me. I'm not impressed.
All right, thank you guys so much for joining us. I want to say thank you to Todd Singer. Todd has helped out me personally and this podcast in incredible ways that I don't really get into. But just a thank you to him. Thank you to Christy Avery, another person who has helped us out incredibly and is our only super fan. And we love you so much. Christy, come on up here.
He wants to smell you again.
Now, Christy's our only super fan, so hop on up here, hon.
Thanks to your dear leader.
And anytime we offer up a prize, Christy Avery wins it because she's the only one who does what I ask. And so, for Christy drove down in a snowstorm. She's got hell to go back through on the way back. But
I might die on the way back.
She's such a huge fan of We Are Libertarians that she's literally risking death here tonight. And so I have to give her a book. This is Short Answers to Tough Questions by Mary Ruart. And this is yours. Thank you so much for being a fan of We Are Libertarians.
I have to say thanks to Brett Bittner, too.
You also should thank Brett Bittner and
thank
the Advocates
you,
for
Never
Self-Government.
Bittner.
We only have 570 of those.
You just re-gifted a gift from Bittner to Christy?
It's the thought that counts, right? That's what we're going with.
It even more special.
Here, do you want a shot of Superman Vitality?
This is so important to me that the guy, you know, Bittner, I don't want it, but you can have it.
All right, ready? Oh, she's so woke now.
Oh, that was nasty.
No, it's delicious. It tastes like high tea.
It takes about
a week for it to kick in.
What,
Alex
until
says
your
it
mustache
only,
comes in?
You want to do one drop because two is too powerful.
That
was one drop. Do you want to do two? You ready to go round two?
No.
You want to start fighting globalists?
You ready to fight globalists with Chris Galt? All right.
Well, I do think instead of when we end, I think we should give a round of applause to everybody that came out and supported us.
Yes, thank you.
We don't deserve it. But yes, thank you for coming out, and you guys are the best.
There's only one of us clapping here.
Please clap, Galt.
Please clap. All right, real quick, final thoughts for this episode. Creighton Harrington.
Thanks for coming out.
All right, thank you.
I really appreciated the diverse political topics that we discussed today. Yes. Abortion was my favorite.
Yes.
Bush didn't do 9/11.
Christy?
I liked it when Chris made me cry.
When did I? Who made you cry?
At you at the end when you're like saying, we're so touched by this.
Oh, well, it's true.
Yeah.
So sweet.
We are abrasive people, but we do truly appreciate the contributions that everybody makes personally and online and monetarily and also just writing us a letter. You know, I didn't get to read Joshua Laughlin's letter tonight, but people like you are really. I would have quit this podcast a long time ago when it was really hard to do, but people like you said, I'm really looking forward to the next episode, and I was
exactly.
Like, well, let's keep doing the next episode then, and then I'll quit the week after that.
And I'm still saying, where's episode 199?
I know, and you're still bugging me.
It's only Creighton and I.
Yeah.
So, and it's basically Republican porn.
You might want to catch the cliff notes on that one.
Yeah.
If you are a left libertarian, it is not going to be your favorite.
Yeah. If you lean left at all, you might want to skip that one.
It's literally like a Pinochet version of We Are Libertarians.
Like, you actually can hear the helicopters in the background.
This is why they need me back on the show.
This has been an advertisement paid for by Chris Gault.
Yeah.
Gina Martinez.
Yes, sir.
Your final thoughts for the episode?
Final thoughts, yeah. I'm with Creighton on the informed and knowledgeable, or was it you, Gault? Whoever said the informed and knowledgeable political topics this evening were amongst the most cerebral we've probably discussed in my tenure. But that being said, I really appreciate the opportunity to see you guys. It's sincerely been years. I arrived and went backstage to sit down, and we started doing what we do, having conversations, and I said, wait, how long is this thing tonight? And Chris said, it will go on forever. At which point I said, shut your mouth. There's not a single word you have to say to me that can't wait until we stand on stage.
Yeah.
We are still libertarians. It's going to be long and long-winded.
Is that a thing we do?
Oh,
honestly,
yeah.
Just order another drink and make sure you tip Jordan and Carrie well. We've got another 30 minutes to do here.
It's our typical sign-off.
Right.
But no, seeing the faces of, especially of libertarians past, it's really nice to have everybody together on the podcast this evening, and thanks for inviting me.
Greg?
Thank everybody for coming out. Honestly, it's stunning, and I'm so lucky to get to have met all of you and, you know, benefit from your friendships and relationships and your memes criticizing Spangle. I delight in those. I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah, my life's great. I wake up to Facebook every day and somebody says something mean to me. It's fantastic.
But just definitely you for starting it and then letting me contribute and be a part of it, because otherwise I would never have heard of Alex Jones. I can for sure say that. And probably the principles of libertarianism, which I was I was one of those Bill Weld libertarians.
Yeah.
But, I'd have never
At
gone
best.
Down the well. Hey, why don't you?
You've come a long way.
Well, like, 5 more years would be the time to have Gault on again.
Well, my final thanks is to my co-hosts, all those current and past, especially to Greg. Give Greg a big round of applause.
Woo!
Greg is incredibly smart and incredibly funny and has been a great partner throughout this, especially as my interests have wandered away from politics and libertarianism, if you can't tell, and wandered into building this platform and eventually into a business. And Greg is, God help us, the ideological center at this point of the podcast.
The topical center.
Right, the Not topical center.
Yeah. I am new meaning no, to shifting no goalposts.
Yeah, I am no one's ideological benchmark.
So, thank you so much to you for coming in week and days and just constantly. Oh, Greg is the person that I rely on most of my life to show up, help me do this, but also to tell me what is normal. Because I'm like Miranda, I'm a feral cat. I don't know what's socially acceptable anymore. I will just say anything, and I'm a crazy person. And so a lot of times I have to message Greg and go, was I the asshole there? And he always says no, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Likewise, buddy, likewise.
And thank you to Gina, to Chris, to Creighton for all the years of coming in and being a part of this and coming in week in and week out. So thank you so much for listening to episode 200. We hope you had a good time tonight. Please tip your waitstaff very well. Thank you so much to Chris Bowers for coming on. Please give Chris a round of applause. Thank you to Morty's Comedy Joint for hosting us, for being great partners in this live show. When I proposed a live libertarian podcast at a comedy club, I don't think any of us expected to get anyone to show up, and 50 of you showed up that first night, and this is something that we love to do, so thank you for coming out. Thank you so much for listening, if you're on the CIA feed and you didn't make it here today, and hello to the CIA.
Jeff and Caitlin.
And final thoughts? Did you have something you want to... Oh, okay.
Well, I was just going to say, Jeremiah Moore and Aaron Ewart for running the cameras.
Tad Western.
Tad Hang and Chad Western for monitoring the levels.
Harry.
And Harry Price for not manning the merchandise booth when James Neese didn't show up at all.
And taking care of the Wi-Fi.
And, yes, and to Jeff and Caitlin. So thank you so much for being here on this episode, and we promise, as always...
to do better next time.
Please clap.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now showtime. We ask at this time you please turn off your cell phones to the off or vibrate mode. As a courtesy to the performance on stage, please keep your table talk to an absolute minimum. Are you guys ready for the 200th episode of We Are Libertarians?
Stop, 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 shut up, shut up. This is the Jeff River Podcast. Oh my God, thank you guys for coming out to see Caitlin and I. I'm Jeff Ibbert, this is Caitlin Kopetsky. How are you guys
doing
tonight?
Hi.
How many people know who the fuck we are? Six of you, perfect.
Great, great.
Six of 20, awesome. So Spangle asked that we don't show up tonight, and we decided to show up and crash this because we're a more entertaining podcast. We're part of the Jeff Vibbert Podcast, and it's an hour and a half of hilarity and funny stuff, unlike politics, which is boring and stupid, right, guys?
Yeah,
yeah,
yes.
There you go. Awesome. But yeah, no, I don't know if you'd rather hear us talk or hear Spangle talk about his weight loss and politics. Exactly, yeah, no one wants to hear that. So I got this tweet from Spangle. This is something that he tweeted the other day. Shout out to my mom for complimenting my weight loss by exclaiming, "What happened to your boobs?" Apparently, Spangle's mom's beer goggles are working very well because Spangle still has those boobs. He has not lost that much weight.
No, not 5 pounds does not get rid of those things.
No, yeah. He told us to come out here and roast him, so we're roasting him. Yeah, I want to talk about the Schwann Man. Do you guys know who the Schwann Man is? This is very fucking random. I understand that. Just bear with me for a little bit. So the Schwann Man, frozen food truck, drives it to your house every morning, once a week, drops off some stuff. Do you guys, who here knows who the fucking Schwann Man is, please? Did he deliver stuff to your house? Yeah, no? See, what pisses me off about the Schwann Man is people go, oh, he's too expensive. It's too expensive to order from the Schwann Man. The dude is bringing a fucking freezer to your fucking front door, all right? Like...
You don't have to leave the house.
Yeah, it's going to be a little expensive.
The Schwann Man doesn't care if you're not wearing
a
bra.
No, the Schwann Man's amazing. No, Schwann Man would prefer you not wear a bra.
100%.
Because the Schwann Man's a gentleman.
100%.
But no, we had this Schwann, but I thought his last name was Schwann my entire life. Like, and then my parents were like, no, we just called him Don Schwann. Great on my parents. But we ordered ice cream in the big bucket.
Yes.
And chicken egg rolls, of course. Great combination. But I've been looking for Don Schwann on my Twitter. Like, I've just been tweeting about Don Schwann, trying to find him, because I'm from Fishers. He made the entire area so happy. Like, everyone loved Don Schwann. One time we were out on the golf course, my brother, my dad and I, and some of the neighbors, and we ran into Don Schwann on the golf course, and it was like we saw a celebrity. Like, it was like we saw Michael Jordan on the golf course. We lost our minds. It was amazing.
So basically, so what you're saying is you're trying to find Don Schwann, so you're putting out like an Amber Alert, but it's a Schwann Alert.
Yeah, it's a Schwann Alert.
Okay, I support it.
But, so here's the thing.
Yes.
We've been looking for 5 days. I had a group of interns the other day calling Schwann Company, looking through records, and we found out Don Juan passed away 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was pretty depressing, right? We're the warm-up act, people. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Yeah, I don't know.
Would have like a flaming liberal feminist and a non-voter open up for them. It just really, it doesn't make any sense. I don't really understand it, but here we are, everybody.
How do you feel about Caitlin over here being a huge liberal crowd? No?
They don't care.
They don't care?
They don't. It seems like they don't
yeah.
care.
How do you feel about libertarians?
I love libertarians. That's why I'm here.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And of course, I'm a non-voter, so... Yeah, I don't vote, and your vote is a waste, so we're both the same level, buddy. I just got heckled by a libertarian.
You totally did.
That's the all-time low.
I think so. But we're actually here for the Libertarians. We are Libertarians Podcast birthday, so we didn't want to come empty-handed, so we did bring a present. I learned today from Jeremiah Morrill that you guys really love Bill Weld. Yeah. Huge Bill Weld fan. So I am gifting the We Are Libertarians podcast a Bill Weld book. He's actually a novelist. So I got him a book. It's on its way from Amazon right now. So that's going to be in the We Are Libertarians library soon.
What's it called? Do you know?
Big love that.
No one's going to promote you other than yourself. I like it.
Yeah.
I respect. What's his name? Bill Weld?
Bill Weld. Huge in the libertarian community. All love him.
Sounds like a good guy.
Yeah.
Is he... Where do his political views lean? Yeah. I like him. I support him. Big fan of him. So there you have it. I hate all these people here right now. Because they all support Spangle, and that just bothers me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing... There's zero likability about Spangle. He wears shorts in the dead of winter,
he's wearing pants right now, so...
He's wearing pants?
He's wearing pants and boots. I saw him, and I didn't recognize him.
Oh, no. Someone just yelled, he's wearing pants because he's on stage. I told Spangle the rule of, well, for comedians, when you go on stage, you're supposed to wear pants. And he goes, well, that's a dumb rule. I don't believe in that rule. I'm not going to follow that. Mm-hmm. It's like, so you're bigger than the stage? Yeah. That's Spangle for you. That's the real Spangle. I don't know what Spangle you're getting on this podcast.
But it's not the real one.
Yeah, no. If you want to know the real Spangle, talk to me. I'll tell you the real Spangle. He puts people down. He's a bad person. And you're all just fucking eating his lies. Just feeding off his lies. You should all be ashamed of you. Greg Lentz.
Great guy.
Great guy.
Him. Shows up late to every single party I've ever been to.
Shows up
the
late?
The women flock to him. I mean, he is a lady killer.
Oh, he... Slays.
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't talk about that. His last girlfriend was smoking hot.
Oh my God.
That was the most attractive libertarian I've ever seen. I didn't think they existed.
Same
guys
for
or girls.
Room of women right here in front of us.
Oh no. All these women and men are ugly. They're all libertarians. They all have ugly souls. I told myself when we came here, I go, I'm just going to hate on this crowd and make them hate me.
I'm not on the same level as you right now. I'm sorry.
No, because this is what Spangle does when he comes on our podcast. He just makes all of our listeners hate him and hate our podcast. So
You're
I'm
right.
trying to make them hate this
right.
experience. For the people that haven't come to one of these or haven't listened to the podcast yet, and they're just like, I'll come and support it. They're probably like, what the fuck is going on right now?
They have no idea.
Also, I've said fuck way more than I ever would.
Yep.
I don't care. But no, Greg Lentz is a good guy. Because he shows up late, but he always brings beer. Like, he's a gentleman. He shows up at the party. Spangle, when he shows up, he just takes from you. He's like, oh, do you have food? Looks in your fridge without even asking. Horrible person. Spangle's a bad guy. If you take anything away from this podcast, just take that away. He's a horrible human being. And you should not listen to his podcast. Unsubscribe. If you go home, unsubscribe. And then subscribe to the Jeff Ibbert podcast.
Find it on SoundCloud. iTunes, Stitcher.
I don't know if they're on SoundCloud.
Google Play.
Yeah, just unsubscribe. They know where they're at.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if Spangle is ready for the opening comedian or if we're bringing Spangle up. There's supposed to be a comedian coming.
I don't think she's shown up yet.
Typical woman showing up late. She just got here. See? Late, but she got here. So that's good. She brought beer. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, are you guys ready to get this thing started?
That wasn't very convincing.
No, that wasn't convincing at all. I know we didn't warm you up that well, but this comedian coming up, very funny comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Miranda. Just bringing her drink and her purse on stage with her cell phone. How long ago did you get here? Did you just walk in?
Yes, I did.
You've got lip gloss on. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Miranda.
Hello, everybody, fellow libertarians. Hope you're having a wonderful night. Hope you're excited for this 200th episode. I know I am. Hey, Christy. Hey, ho. What up? I'm running late like always. I wonder, like, one day will people lie to me and tell me a time that is much earlier than the real time and get me here on time? I just don't know. Trying to find my notes and turn on a recording here. I'm very professional. It's something you probably already noticed. It's pretty much why I have been grandfathered in as a professional stripper. In my blood. So, all right. I can't see anyone. I'm going to guess my peeps are out there. I see Jeremiah over there. We have a group chat going on Snapchat, and nobody likes Snapchat more than me, or so I thought. This group chat gives me such anxiety. This group chat just won't stop. I can check the group chat, and then I literally come back 20 minutes later, and I open it, and there is 400 seconds worth of... But I'm busy, and I want to respond. Every photo or every video that I see, I'm like, I want to respond to it. I'm like, that's so funny, or just like, whatever. But by the time I get done with it all, I'm like, what the fuck did I just watch? It's like a really weird, like, Real World meets Bachelor meets Sexy Hoes in the Bathtub, Hannah, right? Also, through the group chat, I realized that Sarah doesn't like the Vagisil. Hold on, get in there. Sarah likes the old soap and water. So, Dakota's girlfriend, he's got a lady friend that likes the old Kroger brand. I want to know how that's working out. Okay, I don't need to know how that's working out because I live by the 1096th Street and I'm not going. I've already lost my virginity once, at least, and I can't do it again. Not at Walmart. Here we go, voice recordings. You know, and there. So yeah. Anyway, shout out to all my ladies that like the Vagisil. We were just doing bathtub pics, and like all of a sudden, I'm like, "Bitch, you got Vagisil? Look at me, I do too. We all had the same one." And then Sarah came chiming in about her golden pussy that has no problems. We're like, okay, Sarah, we get it. You had a father growing up. We use Vagisil. I mean, we're kind of... I was trying not to be ratchet anymore, and it's been working out for about 30 minutes, but I feel it coming back on. So I keep my Vagisil Feminine Wash right in my bag. Because you just never know. Might need to wash your hair with it. You don't know. So, and you're probably confused, like, what do I mean by that? And I just sometimes, like a cat or a pussy, you might just be rubbing up on someone and you need to be fresh. So, maybe your nickname wasn't Fish and Chips in high school, but mine was. So I'm in some pretty cool, risque groups on Facebook, and on my real Facebook, so I fit in perfectly with these people. And so I told them I'd give them a shout out, so hashtag tittyfuckclub. why? Maybe it's because I'm always posting my nudes. It's really weird. Nobody ever wants to pay me for them anymore, though. Like, I always try to ask. They never did pay me for them, but it's like, I always give them my nudes, and then I'm just like, wouldn't it be so cool if you gave me some money? And they're like, no, your nudes now. So, at some point, I'm going to have to stop giving this cow away. So, yeah, I don't know. Something, I think guys can kind of pick up on that, that I didn't have a father, and that I'm kind of a cunt, so they're not really sure how to approach me. And when I blow them off, then they just start negging me. And I already know for a second, and when they're finished, I just get really obnoxious with them, and I say, if you thought being really mean to me was going to make me suck your dick later, you're absolutely right. And then they just get really confused and hopeful, and then I just obviously leave. I've been a disappointment to people since 1985. I'm going to go ahead and have a seat here. I feel like this could take a while. I'm not really sure when they're going to come up and kick me off or give me a light or a sign or a water hose, anything to probably make me stop. I don't know if anybody knows about my awesome cats. I'm sure you guys are probably all obsessed already. Miranda Barnett, most awesome chick alive. I do have two cats, and they watch everything I'm doing. My boy cat will lick and chew my hair while I'm sleeping. He's like, does this thing, and it's really annoying. But what's really annoying is when he actually eats the hair, and then he takes a shit later. And then my guess is that the other cat startles him, because he comes running through the house, and then all of a sudden it's like, is that a piece of poop on the floor? I'm like, no, surely it's not. Then it is. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I go in. Then all of a sudden it's like you see on the litter box, like the smudge. And then I'm like, put it all together, but I'm like, I'm missing a few pieces. I go to my cat. He's running around with my hair hanging out of his ass, dragging a turd through my home. Who knows what he's touched now? And it was kind of dry, so there wasn't a fresh smudge to let me know, like a breadcrumb. I don't know if you guys remember those like Domino's like brownie bite things that like would show up at the door, and then they would hug people and they would leave their like poop smudge. That's what I always think of when I see that cat smudge. I was pretty fucking shook, I'm not gonna lie. And not only that, now every time I see them eating hair, getting near hair, I just like start freaking out, because what's gonna happen when I'm not home to collect these little nuggets of joy they're flinging across my house? Because also there's two cats and they wild out and they fight like kitty fight club. And I just can imagine where those little turds would even end up, and I wouldn't even know for a long time. So, yeah, if you guys have cats, you just think about that. I see a bald man out there. You, sir, you don't have to worry about it. You're free from that burden. You don't even have it. I know this guy, he's got a big furry hat on. It's kind of, you look like somebody from Super Mario from here, because it's kind of just like a bubble head. I can't see much. I'm on marijuana for legal reasons. I just flew back in the state. I've been somewhere else. That's why I'm late. It's a big deal. The glaucoma. But I do know that guy. I can say whatever I want. I went to high school with him. And we went to a pretty fucking cool-ass street cred high school. It was where I became a hip-hop lyricist. I worked with some pretty hardcore people like Mumford & Sons. So I know it's probably a little bit hard for you guys. You probably don't know them. But they're real fucking street. So anyway, we went to Northwest High School. I'm getting the light. So basically, I'm going to start there and tell you the rest of my life story. 32. It's going to take a while. No, I went to high school with him. It was Northwest. People are always so surprised. I thought she was waving at me. And if you don't know anything about that high school, it's like most of the people there are rappers and gang members and stuff. I think it also seconds as like a prison, maybe. Something like that. So, I mean, I got knocked up at 16. You think that was my fault? No. I mean, no, not at all. And it definitely didn't have anything to do with my mom being a crack whore or my father never being around. I didn't know him, so couldn't have anything to do with it. I hope you guys listen to my podcast. Yes. Chrissy, you are my fucking straight up hoe. I swear to God, we're gonna go to fucking Washington Street and trap these pussies. I swear to God, I can't wait. All right, guys, thank you so much. I will continue to shitpost. Please follow me on Facebook, Miranda1219 on Snapchat. Sometimes I slip a nipple. Sometimes you might... Who said that? Who said that? And is that Brett? Yeah. Hashtag never bitten her. Oh, yeah. No, Brett... I've just been sending those straight nips to you. Thanks for letting everybody know what kind of a slut I've been in the secret. Oh, my God. Before they come in tonight, straight take this from me. Okay, seriously, the other night it went down at work. These bitches were straight fucking wilding. Okay, I'm talking like drug addict strippers getting real fucking crazy. And this was at the Brass Flamingo. And if you want to go there, just visit me. Give me all your money. Call me. No, these girls are straight wildin'. This girl is like real drug addict, real kind of just nasty, whatever. She's wearing a fucking cowboy hat. Doesn't match her outfit at all, but her shoes do have some fringe. I loved it. I didn't say a word. It just gave me a giggle to see it. So anyway, I already knew people probably been giving her shit all night. But you know what? Hey, kudos to her. She kept it on. Anyhow, end of the night comes around. There's this girl who thinks she's cool, who thinks that she's like the shit, and she's also a drug addict, but she thinks nobody knows. And so she's back there. She's mad. She never makes any money. Faith makes money because she sucks dick, okay, or whatever she does to the dicks. And so Faith is the cowgirl hat. So Faith comes into the dressing room. Everybody's back there getting dressed. It's the end of the night. And a girl's, her name is... We'll just give her any old stripper name. We'll call her Harley. She goes, hey, everybody, look, Faith's got her cowgirl hat on tonight. Faith straight fucking loses it. She's like, yeah, well, you sucking dicks tonight? Because she knows this girl do be sucking dicks. And so, like, the fact that she straight called her out, love it, because everybody acts like, oh, like, we can't say that. And so she straight just fucking flings the mud. I fucking love it. I come from the back. I'm like, who's fucking fighting? Because everybody was like commotion. I was just like, yes, let me see what's up. It was that Faith fucking straight going off to the fucking DJ. This bitch. And she's like, I mean, just getting so crazy. The bitch was wearing a fucking cowgirl hat. All she's, honey, you're wearing a fucking cowboy hat. Like, I don't want to fucking break it to you, but you are. And so... But she did. She snapped like it was fucking Lifetime. And I swear to God, everybody was like so stunned because they're strippers, so they're stupid. They didn't get it. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm like, we know Faith's stupid and on drugs, but do you guys think she didn't hear you making fun of her all night long, every single fucking one of you? How much abuse did Faith take before she fucking finally snapped tonight? You know what I mean? She hasn't even had her drugs yet. You can tell by looking at her. Give this bitch a break. Thank you, guys. Miranda Barnett, Snapchat that pussy.
Miranda Barnett, everybody. Snapchat that pussy indeed, right? All right, guys. First off, before we get started, is Tad Western here tonight? Yeah, he is. Can we all just acknowledge how weird it is that Tyler's name got changed to Tad, and all of a sudden we all just started going with it, and he's wearing a cowboy hat, and we're all cool with it? It's really fucking weird. It's weirder than the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing. Like, that's honestly 10 times weirder than that. All right. Are you guys ready to do this thing? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to the 200th episode of We Are Libertarians. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Chris Spangle and Greg Lenz.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.